I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and it's Memorial Day, May 28th, 21. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global, heard around the world. I'm going to give you the number. You're going to need it. A lot of people listen on the phone, so I'm going to give you the number, 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio, get your voice heard around the world. This is Memorial Day. I'll probably take the day off Monday, so it'll be, let me see, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it'll be 4 days before I come back on the air, maybe. If you want to know when, I might come on the air this evening. I don't know, but if you want to know, all you have to do is go to Blog Talk Radio. Is it Blog Talk Radio? blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. You can follow the show. It'll give you an alert in your email when I'm on. You never know when I come on. I might come on tonight. Or I might come on Saturday. I might just have a music show Saturday night. Who knows? But you will know if you follow me. Our main topic today, do you have serial killers characteristics? My original title was Serial Killer Moms, because we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that. These typical serial killer characteristics are as follows. Serial killer moms, we're going to get into that. Mother of serial killers and why they became serial killers. These serial killers are found to be intelligent and have above average intelligence. And that makes sense, because if you're an idiot, you get caught. You won't be able to commit more crimes because you're a moron, a fool. So they're very intelligent people. So kids, if you're in school, you're going back to school, and you see a guy or a girl who's getting all A's in school and they're really intelligent, chances are they're going to be a serial killer. That's what the stats say. Be careful. Don't pick on them. Most of the serial killers are found to have families and steady jobs. Some have trouble keeping a job, and generally they're morons. So ladies, if your husband's always looking for a job and he's intelligent, he may be a serial killer. These killers are often from divorced families where the father has left the mother. We talked about that. Single moms. They have the attitude, feminism. I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I can take care of myself. My kids don't need a father. Yeah, see? We're doing fine. These killers are often from divorced families where the father has left the mother. They are brought up by, you know, grandmothers, aunties, other people, foster homes. So let's just go over this. So if you have a guy who's intelligent, above average intelligent, has a problem keeping a job, come from a single mother household, or brought up by a grandmother or something like that, he will grow up to be a serial killer. We're going to talk about that. We have other things we're going to be talking about today. Paul Ryan went on stage today. We stayed away from politics for a while because I got bored. Tired of the gossip. But I'll report the real politics. And by the way, Paul Ryan talked, so we're going to listen to Paul Ryan, and we'll get into our serial killers. I mean, you may be a serial killer. And then we're going to get into your brain. You know what's really funny about the brain? Do you control your brain, or does the brain control you? And we're talking about when you're sleeping. What happens to your brain when you sleep? You're going to be very surprised what's going on there. Sometimes you wake up in a cold sweat. Do you dream about cheating on your husband with somebody you know? You wake up in a cold sweat. Are you having sex dreams that should not be there? Like really weird, freaky sex dreams? What does it mean? Do you think about killing people? Now, what's interesting, and the reason I thought about that, is that we have a lot of authors on the show. And a lot of them write murder mysteries and so on and so forth. I wonder what they dream about in their thought process. So we're going to talk about what happens to your brain when you're sleeping. These are some of the topics we're going to be talking about. And if you like, and it's Friday. Well, it's Friday. If we have time, I will make the phony phone call on Friday, calling them a Japanese massage parlor. I'm going to call them and ask for a refund, see what happens there if we have time. But if you want to talk about, we have people sending me stuff, so we'll be talking about the stories that they sent me, which is very special to them, because we'll do a segment on what's going on in your neighborhood or in your state. And if something's going on in your state that you don't like and you want to blast it out, get it known, come on in the studio. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. That's the number. Let's get going. Well, first, let's warm it up. I'm going to drink some coffee. And here's Paul Ryan at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. I guess it's important for him to talk. We're not going to listen to the whole thing, but here he is, Paul Ryan.
That was really something. Thank you, John. Really. Wow, that was not the direction, the introduction I was expecting. That was really something. Really appreciate it. What a beautiful night. Isn't it nice just to get outside together? It's glorious. I want to thank you, John. I want to thank everybody here at the library. I want to thank everybody who spent all of these months this year holding the place together here at the library. From being on the board, I've just got to tell you, there are a lot of people here who put their lives into this library, and they've really held this institution up during very tough times. So I just want to thank all the folks here at the Reagan Library for enduring this difficult time and for keeping this place that we're so proud of, that we're all attached to, afloat and doing so well. So thank you for what all of you have done. Everybody here at the library. And I want to thank you, John, and I also want to thank my friend Fred Ryan. I have the honor of serving with John and Fred Ryan on the library's Board of Trustees, and though I may not be the most powerful Ryan on the board, I love being a part of it, and I was just elated when I was asked to join the board. For more than 2 years now, I have been strictly a private citizen with no complaints whatsoever about that. Your invitation brings me here only as a lifelong admirer of President Reagan and a sound believer in what he stood for. So it's a real privilege to kick off the Reagan Library's Time for Choosing series. I see it as a chance to share a few thoughts about the man, about the cause that defined his career, and, as John mentioned, about the future of the party that he led. Ronald Reagan had nothing but good influence on the Republican Party in his time. I have a feeling you'll agree that we sure could use more of that today. I've been here a few times, and whenever I look around this place, this it, it It reminds me of my backyard in Janesville, Wisconsin, actually. No, but when I very seriously look around this place, I think about how my own life was influenced by the ideas and the spirit of someone I never even met. Even 40 years after President Reagan's first inauguration, we all remember him with a special respect and affection. He was exactly the man America needed at a crucial moment. We appreciate him only more from a distance of time now. To this day, whenever I'm asked to describe my own political outlook, there's no term that fits more comfortably than Reagan conservative. You know, I guess it started with my dad, who was also named Paul. He wasn't really a political type, but there was never a more enthusiastic Reagan voter in the state of Wisconsin. I remember in 1980, I was 10 years old. My dad pointed out a geographical connection, that the Rock River that ran straight through Janesville, Wisconsin, flowed straight down past Dixon, Illinois, where our new president spent his childhood. For a kid, there was something nice in knowing that he'd come from the same part of the world that we did. It was a long time before I ever took an active interest in politics. And when I did, I just naturally identified with the ideas of Ronald Reagan. Early in my career, I spent a lot of time in the company of a guy named Jack Kemp, a wonderful guy I still miss. And being around Jack was a daily immersion in the big-hearted spirit of Reagan conservatism, its whole creed of free enterprise, of endless opportunity, of limited government and a limited role of government in a free society, respect for the rule of law, a system of checks and balances, the rights and dignity of every person, and America as a country like no other, with work in the world that only we can do. The 8 years of the Reagan presidency stand as evidence of all that those ideas can accomplish. Just think how different the world would look today without this one man whose arrival in American politics still seems providential. You know, it's a measure of his impact that there are statues of this man, not just here in Simi Valley, but also in our Capitol Rotunda, in London, in Gdansk, Poland, in Warsaw, in Budapest, in Berlin, near where the wall used to be, and in many other places where Reagan will always be an honored name. Our 40th president belongs to another era, for sure. But the ideas he championed, they are universal. They are as hopeful and as compelling as ever. Consider the background of one new member of Congress, Victoria Spartz of Indiana. She's an immigrant from Ukraine who did not arrive in the United States until 1998, when she was 20 years old. You know, socialism might be fashionable among some members of the House, but I have a feeling they're going to hear from their colleague Victoria, who has seen socialism up close and knows exactly where it leads. And how do you think this representative, born in the Soviet Union, began her service in Congress? She arranged to take her oath of office standing by a portrait of Ronald Reagan. If we're looking for good signs in the Republican Party, this freshman member of the House, along with others, like young Kim from down in Orange County, Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida, and Tony Gonzalez of Texas, they are high on the list. And looking for good signs is what we should be doing, even if in 2020 and in 2021, we have been a tough and disappointing time for the conservative cause. Here's another good sign. With a strong showing of conservative candidates, Republicans last year came very, very close to regaining a House majority. No one expected that, especially in an election cycle where we lost the presidency and then the Senate in a runoff. Of course, since 2016, we have learned to get used to big and unexpected things happening in American politics. Even for our good showing in the House, 2020 left Republicans powerless in Washington. Even worse, it was horrifying to see a presidency come to such a dishonorable and disgraceful end. So, once again, we conservatives find ourselves at a crossroads. And here's the reality that we have to face. If the conservative cause depends on the populist appeal of one personality or of second-rate imitations, then we're not going anywhere. voters looking for Republican leaders want to see independents in metal. They will not be impressed by the sight of yes men and flatterers flocking to Mar-a-Lago. We win majorities by directing our loyalty and respect to voters and by staying faithful to the conservative principles that unite us. This was true even when the person leading our movement was as impressive, polished, and agreeable as they come. Maybe you recall Ronald Reagan's parting words in the proper farewell address of a successful two-term president. Here is how he acknowledged his reputation as a great communicator. He said, quote, "I never thought it was my style or the words I used that made a difference. It was the content. I wasn't a great communicator, but I communicated great things. And they came from the heart of a great nation, from our experience, our wisdom, and our belief in the principles that have guided us for two centuries." Now, President Reagan might have been underrating his talents just a bit, but he was right. That leaders and eras, they come and go. It's only the cause that endures. That is critical to remember right now. And frankly, I don't think anyone should have trouble recalling our fundamental convictions. We have a Democratic administration, Senate, and House that are challenging those convictions and will keep doing so day after day. As we watch progressive work every level of power and every lever of power in all the elected branches in Washington, we'll have all the reminders we need of why conservatives believe in limited government, in spending discipline, in economic opportunity, in pluralism, in personal freedom. We're now seeing how one-party rule from the left holds up in a center-right country. Joe Biden was put into the presidency by swing suburban voters, the kind who normally vote Republican, but in this case did so only for Congress and not for president. They expected a center-left unifier. The problem is, he is focused on unifying not the nation, but the Democratic Party, surrendering to its progressive base. It's not been 6 months, and already the administration is working toward over $6 trillion in new spending. This even with a deficit that ran more than $200 billion last month alone. What is not covered with new borrowing will be funded with higher income taxes, payroll taxes, capital gains taxes, estate taxes, and more. In 2020, the country wanted a nice guy who would move to the center and depolarize our politics. Instead, we got a nice guy pursuing an agenda more leftist than any president in my lifetime. These policies might have the full approval of his progressive supporters, but they break faith with the middle-of-the-road folks who made the difference for him on Election Day. And for conservatives, this painful existence as the opposition can actually be an opportunity. Out of these years can come a healthy, growing, and united conservative movement, a movement that speaks again to the heart of a great nation. Consider how much we got done before the defeat of 2020. When we controlled the levers of power, what did we accomplish? Well, I was lucky enough to be Speaker of the House during that time. And the answer is that Republicans delivered on goals important to conservatives going all the way back to Goldwater and Reagan. They include a vital rebuilding of America's military and intelligence capabilities so that determined rivals cannot overtake us. The United States answered serious threats in serious ways with tough measures against China, Russia, Iran, and other hostile actors. We eliminated some of the worst excesses of the regulatory state, allowing for greater freedom and economic growth. We made good on a promise to the veterans that the VA would better serve them and be held accountable when it fell short. In criminal justice, we corrected some terrible wrongs to give worthy people a chance at life beyond prison. We made serious progress in ridding the country of human trafficking and rescuing its victims. All this and more, along with Senate-confirmed Supreme Court justices who endured vicious attacks from the left and will be a credit to their country for decades to come. And then there was the first major revision of the tax code since 1986. The previous code was what people had in mind when they talked about the swamp. It was a constant drag on economic productivity and entrepreneurship, driving capital and jobs outside of the United States. It was such a fixture that few people thought it could be reformed, and most had given up trying. We needed to lower the rates, clear away the favors and the clutter, and sharpen America's competitive edge. Tax reform was a big piece of business. I worked at it myself for 2 decades in Congress. And in 2017, we got it done. This is the main reason why, at the start of 2020, the United States was seeing such powerful and inclusive economic growth. We saw increased revenue from a broader tax base, capital and jobs coming back to America, the best wage growth for low-income earners in more than a decade, and unemployment at a 50-year low for every demographic. These historic reforms were a triumph of practical conservative policy, a model of shared prosperity and upward mobility that we've always talked about. It was the populism of President Trump in action, tethered to conservative principles. And if anyone wondered, back in January 2020, what could possibly cut short this expansion of opportunity in America? We now know the one-word answer: pandemic. That calamity, along with some fiascos of the president's own making, set the scene for our present challenges. Look, to his credit, Donald Trump brought many new voters into our party, and we want them to stay. He's a former president now, but the issues and values that held so many Republican voters and turned so many Democrats into Republicans, those issues and values still matter. I'm proud of the longstanding promises Republicans made good on in those years. By any measure, it is a plus that we are now a party that more working people can identify with, a party that takes American sovereignty and the security of our border seriously. We're the party that has no illusions about China and its influence in the world, and that, too, is a change for the better. In a lot of manufacturing towns and in other once-forgotten places, people know who's speaking for them, and more than that, who's listening to them. Like the Reagan Democrats of another time, these voters feel respected in our party, respected for the work they do, for their way of life, and for their love of country. I can't think of any better evidence that the Republican Party has been doing at least a few things right. Having joined our ranks in the last 5 years, there is no reason these voters cannot go on adding their conviction and support to the conservative cause. All good-meaning people from every background should feel welcome in the forward-looking, inclusive, aspirational movement that we must be. Take the populist energy of the recent years, combine it with the core principles of conservatism, and the result will be a coalition even broader and stronger than yesterday's Republican Party. I'm going to take a sip of water while the plane goes by. So often, though, as well, Republican populism is just the natural response to progressive elitism and the overarching agenda that goes with it. Never before has the left wing of the Democratic Party held such influence as it does now. And we're seeing how that works out. I am betting that most Americans will not take well to more policies of wealth redistribution, more federal interference in their lives, more globalism at the expense of the national interest, and daily, never-ending instruction in political correctness. The least appealing feature of the party in power is its constant use of identity politics. So many issues on the left bring up the same dreary view of America as a collection of groups in perpetual conflict with each other. What we could once dismiss as pretentious academic theory, confined to overworked dissertations in obscure journals, somehow has become Democratic Party orthodoxy. Everything has to be about race, gender, and class. Every person is just a stand-in for one group interest or another. That's identity politics. Constantly accusing, suspecting, claiming victimhood, pulling us apart from one another. And lately, all of this has gone from ideology to obsession. But as the left gets more woke, the rest of America is getting weary this stuff is exhausting. And we conservatives have got to be careful not to get caught up in every little cultural battle. Sometimes these skirmishes are just creations of outraged peddlers detached from reality and not worth anybody's time. They draw attention away from the far more important case we must make to the American people. Culture matters, absolutely, yes. But our party must be defined by more than a tussle over the latest grievance or perceived slight. We must not let them take priority over solutions grounded in principle to improve people's lives. Because politics based on racial or other identity is always a path to deeper and deeper hostility with sad and harmful consequences. And it is precisely the opposite of conservative thought. And we need to be frank. Today, too many people on the right are enamored with identity politics in ways that are antithetical to Reagan conservatism. The whole idea in this country is that every person has worth and that our dignity, rights, and responsibilities, they all belong to us as individuals. The key identity that we all share is our humanity. The group we all belong to is a free society where we all get to think for ourselves, where everyone has something to contribute, and where everyone deserves a chance to rise. In any time, but especially now, these conservative principles ring true, and they will always draw more men and women to our cause. Conservatism draws heavily on the wisdom of natural law, which can raise our sights beyond the selfishness and the grievance collecting of tribe against tribe. And conservatism also places a premium on private virtue, believing, as our founders did, that a free society depends on personal values, like honesty, duty, self-discipline, and a basic concern and respect for other people. The state does not exist to remake society or to reorder our lives. As President Reagan observed, government cannot be clergyman, teacher, and parent. It is our servant beholden to us. And along with this comes a confidence in the people themselves to make their own decisions as responsible members of the good, caring, fair-minded society that our Constitution was designed for. Listening to the progressive left sometimes, you can easily overlook the irreplaceable role of families, churches, and communities in shaping the character of our country. For the left, it's always about expanding government power. I think of the federal debt, which hardly comes up anymore, even though the debt is now $28 trillion. Look, we were forced to take extraordinary measures to respond to a global pandemic. But that effort is not permission to adopt a policy of limitless spending. Many consequences would arise out of a debt crisis, all of them bad, some of them catastrophic. If we want to remain the biggest economy, keep our standard of living, keep the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and meet our obligations to the seniors, to our veterans, to the poor and the disabled, it all comes back to spending discipline and the tax revenue that comes only with a pro-growth agenda. Everything rides on America getting ahead of this problem. And if conservatives do not show the way, and too often we have not, then no one else will. The same is true when we think about complex and growing challenges to the security of our country. It's more than just a matter of sustaining military and intelligence capabilities, in which we can never afford to be second best. That's the most basic of our responsibilities. We are in an all-inclusive competition against authoritarian regimes that want to supplant American influence wherever they can. They'll take any opening, exploit every weakness, and they're not much constrained by our standards of honor and fair play. We cannot take our special place in the world for granted. Our alliances, our friendships, the whole community of values among free nations. Together, these express the noblest aspirations of humanity, and they always need careful tending. American leadership has made the difference for 75 years. And that means it is crucial, but not inevitable. If our influence ever faded by choices or miscalculations of our own, it would become a lot easier to picture the world as repressive surveillance states like China see it already. a future in which pervasive state control over the individual is the model to follow, and instead of the natural rights of men and women and a future of freedom. How many times did we hear the namesake of this library remind us that America isn't just a place on the map defined by blood and soil? It's an idea. America is humanity's best attempt at upholding the truth that everyone is created equal, that the condition of your birth need not dictate the whole course of your life. And that word, created, that's still the key to it all, because it reflects the true wisdom of our founding. You can listen to any peddler of the latest collectivist doctrine or any propaganda from some big brother regime, but you will never hear a creed more revolutionary than the American idea that the rights of every person are endowed by God, not granted by government. That creed has always been the best thing we have going for us as a country. It has universal appeal that no ideology centered on the power of the state can ever match. The test, as always, is to keep faith with our most basic ideals. And today, we are challenged from within and from without. If we fail this test, it will be because the progressive left will have won by default. It will be because the conservative cause, which has been the protector of our great American creed, lost its way and followed the left into the trap of identity politics, defining itself by resentments instead of by ideals. It will be because we mistake reactionary skirmishes in the culture wars with a coherent agenda. It will be because we gave too much allegiance to one passing political figure and weren't loyal enough to our principles. I know my party well enough to believe that that is not our destiny. As long as America stays confident in the ideals of our founding, our country will forever stand as the alternative to tyranny of every kind. And even after the setbacks of 2020, it will be up to the conservative movement, as it always is, to serve those ideals with conviction, heart, and respect for the American people. Americans, as our 40th president said, are hopeful, big-hearted, idealistic, daring, decent, and fair. Those words describe the man himself, and they remind us of the generous spirit that overcomes setbacks and achieves great things. With that example, with the best that is in us, and by speaking to the best in our country, let's press on with the conservative cause and return that cause to a governing majority. Thank you very, very much.
And there you go, Paul Ryan. You know, I'm a Democrat, and I've been watching MSNBC, CNN, and I realize that the Democrats are promoting racism. If I had to pick a party, Republican or Democrat, who are the most racist, they would be Democrats. They're a racist party. Their agenda on MSNBC, when I hear a lot of the black pundits on MSNBC, they're talking about woke. They're talking about 400 years. Remember when we were kids? When we were kids in high school, the most boring classes we had to take was history and maybe civics. Nobody cared about history. It was history. We couldn't wait. That's the time we drew on our paper to see if we were an artist or we sent love letters or whatever. Nobody was listening to history. But now looking back, history is very important because it tends to repeat itself. And when I listen to MSNBC and I listen to CNN, they are racist. It got to be a channel of hate Whitey. Make them pay. It's unwatchable. And I say this with black folks. I said, if we keep looking back about history, we'll never see the future. And it gave it a platform for that, for black people that don't succeed. When you keep talking about 400 years and gerrymandering and what's going on, then I started thinking, why is everybody so afraid of a 75-year-old man who lives in Mar-a-Lago? The Democrats are so afraid of him. They're scared of him. They're weak. They are spineless people. Because none of this matters to the citizens. When I listen to the pundits talk about Trump, he's going to be investigated. Oh, my God, he's going to go to jail. Okay, we're going to get their kids. We're going to get this. And what does that have to do with us? What does it have to do with them? What does it have to do with them with law? Why are you so afraid of Donald Trump? He lost twice with the popular vote. But the Democrats seem to be so scared of this guy, and they want to point out the other Republicans who are with him, and they want us to hate the Republicans, and they're going to come and get us, and they're not going to let us vote. And that's another thing that black folks have to really think about. And when you see black folks on TV, pundits, talking about, oh, my God, they're stopping us to vote and everything and these laws and blah, 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 and it's back to Jim Crow. When I hear that and I hear them say that, you are an Uncle Tom. You are afraid. Because the rules apply to both people. Whatever voting thing they come up with, the rule applies to both people. And then they're going to be arguing, well, there's old black people that can't get to the vote. Well, there's old white people who can't get to vote either. Well, we can't mail in our ballots. Well, we don't have to. Whatever rule that they set, we will rise to that occasion. We will vote. As long as they cannot stop us from voting because of our color, who gives a fuck what they try to do? And they make it more difficult, we're still going to do it. Hell, we were the people who were marching in the streets by the dogs, and the water hoses were sprayed on us, and we kept marching. You think because making voting a little difficult that we're going to, well, you think we're that slow or you think we're that shiftless that it's so difficult, I don't think I'm going to vote. You think that's the kind of people we are? No, it's not. Give us your best shot. We will still vote. So I don't want to hear white people or even black people set this alarm, and usually on the left, oh, my God, they're making it so difficult. It's like Jim. No, it's not Jim Crow. It's politics. And the only reason why you're saying that and you're scared is because you're afraid to lose your job. It has nothing to do with us. The louder you cry and whine what the left is doing and what the right is doing, and they're making it so difficult, and they're passing these laws, and they're shutting down boxes, and they're shutting down voting, we will still find a way to get there to vote. But you're scared you're going to lose. This is what this is about. You're afraid that you're going to lose your job. You're trying to save your own ass. And then you're going to try to send a message to the regular people out here of saying, stop them from doing it. Look what they're doing. It's Jim Crow. They want to sound that little trigger alarm and that black people are going to get hoop and holler and all of a sudden we take to the streets. No. You're just trying to save your own ass. That's what you're doing. You're afraid that a lot of black people voted for you. That's why you're sitting there for 20 years. That you're afraid that it's going to be so difficult that black people are shiftless and lazy that they're not going to take the effort or the time to vote. You're wrong. Because that means you think you're a racist if you think that way. If you think black people, it's a little bit more difficult to vote and you think black people are not going to vote because it's a little difficult, you're one racist motherfucker. No, we will find a way, no matter how difficult you make it, because it's difficult on the other side too. White people get old too. If white people show up, I guarantee you they'll be behind a black person because they're there first. So when you hear these whining and crying of the Democrats and this is racist and this is this, and let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, a clue. When a black person says racist, that means they have nothing. They have nothing to talk about. There's no debate. That's supposed to stop you guys in your tracks. And that's the weakest thing a black person can say. If you get a black person that says you're racist, you ought to smack a bitch. That's weak. That means they have nothing to debate about. And who gives a fuck if you're racist? If you have something to say, you got something to say. We're strong-ass people. And you could come in our face and call us nigger, and we'll stay in your face and call you a cracker or whitey or whatever, and we'll continue debating. We're not weak people. Nigger, a white person calls us nigger, we're not going to shudder and cry and wilt. And we're not going to shoot you because we're not going to go to jail for your stupid ass. At that point, we know we won because you got nothing else. Blah, 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 Brian, blah, blah, you're a nigger. What else you got? Nothing. I'll see you tomorrow. All right. You got nothing. And black people got to be stronger. Because it's a trap. Just think of it as a trap. It's a trap. Just think that some racist redneck in Kentucky there's a cage and there's some fried chicken in there and they got a string and they're waiting for black people to go, because black people come out of the woods, they smell fried chicken, and then they're going to come there and they're going to grab the chicken and then you pull the string and you catch them. That's how white people think, and that's how they think when you call us nigger. I got you. I got you. Because as soon as I call you nigger, you're going to implode. You're going to lose your freaking mind over a word. You're going to hurt me. You're going to commit a crime. And I'm going to lock you up like an animal. It's a trick. And we haven't learned it in our mind that once they use the word nigger, they don't use the word nigger. And then we have the – here's how we – and the worst thing ever happened is we're not going to say nigger. We're going to say N-word. And then we caught it from the white people. First, they started off with nigger, and we got nigger. Then they changed it up on us. We'll say N-word. Now black people are saying N-word. Even if you say N-word, you still said nigger. If you said F-U, it still means fuck you. And that's a trick. So next time that a black person or a black folks goes out there and some redneck or whoever call you a nigger, what are you going to do? You're going to beat his ass? Because that's what they want. They get you off the street. They get you caged in like an animal. They take you away from your kids and your family. And what did you do? You're in jail because you beat somebody's ass. And who cares? Because the next day nobody talking about it but you in jail. And the next thing you know, you're somebody's bitch, and you're walking around with your pants dang, and your pants down, and your drawers showing, and you're going to be in a cell for another 5 years and go, hey, man, what are you in for? Oh, some white motherfucker called me a nigger. Yeah, I hope you killed his ass. Yeah, I did kill his ass and everything. And then you're looking at who you talk to, and this guy's serving life too, and you're a caged animal. And next thing you know, your kids are on the street selling dope. Your wife is sending you little pictures of herself in jail. Meanwhile, she's fucking me. And you're sitting there wasting your life because some asshole who you don't even know, who you don't even care about, called you a nigger. You are one stupid motherfucker because that's the trick. And that means your mind is weak. You got to be better than that. No word can make you be a prisoner of the state or the county. Because you are a dumb nigga sitting there in jail because you hit some dumbass white guy that you don't even know. He's smiling and having barbecue that weekend and bragging how he put your ass in jail while you're sitting there in jail saying you're a big guy, getting fucked up the ass, calling mommy. Who won? This is how they take us. And I'm saying this, which is true. This is how it works. The government created this thing called welfare. Yes, initially FDR created welfare to help the poor, but then the white folks use it as a political toy to get to break up the black families from their homes. We'll give you money if your husband has to leave. We'll give you money for your kids if your husband has to leave. And to separate the black families. It's the same thing. If you get a white person that calls you a nigger, are you that weak? Are you that stupid? Are you that moronic? Because somebody called you a nigger that you're going to act upon it and you're going to show him how you can go to jail and spend the rest of your life or the best years of your life in jail attacking somebody. And I'm not just saying attacking white folks, because you're one damn ass nigger attacking other folks who are black. You know, I'm going to get off this subject, and I see the calls and I see people. It's Memorial Day. I know you want to talk. You know the scam here is Black Lives Matter. Yeah, I said it. You see my picture? I'm black. It's a scam. You've been fooled. You've been buffaloed. I'll prove it to you. When we talk about Black Lives Matter and we're up there talking, marching of a policeman who's killing the popo who killed Floyd, and we're talking about other people that cops, and we take to the streets, killed another black man. Oh, hell no. Take to the streets. We're going to get him in custody. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if Black Lives really matter, why don't you start marching about gang-on-gang crime and that the little black kids in Chicago, the average of 10 black children in Chicago gets hit by bullets from another black man from a gang. That black kids are dying left and right. Where are you, Black Lives Matter? Does Black Lives? Oh, Black Lives doesn't matter if it's black-on-black crime. We're only going after the white people. If Black Lives really matter, they'll be marching around with this black-on-black crime that the cops are not coming and solving, that they don't give a shit, and that they don't even show up a half an hour later. No, Black Lives Matter doesn't count that. No. We're going after Whitey. But black people can kill each other, kill their kids. And we're not going to say shit. A black man can go off and kill somebody at the workplace. Where's Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter, I guess. We're not saying shit. So don't come to me with no Black Lives Matter bullshit. Because if Black Lives Matter really matters, you'll be marching about the crime up in the hood in Washington and Seattle and Detroit and California and Arizona and Boston about these crimes on black and black crimes and getting these gangs and posting these gangs and getting them off the street and saving our children and kids. I can pull up a stat that I don't want to do it because it gets me depressed. I could put up a stat of how many white cops have killed, and I'm not condoning it, but I'm just saying, I'm talking real here, how many white cops have killed black men in 1 year versus how many gang members and black-on-black crime that happened that same year. You want to take a bet what it's more? You want to take a bet on what's more than black-on-black crime? Do you want to take a bet what is more on black and black women being abused and raped and have no place to go and not getting the help that they need? You want to take a bet? So where are you, Black Lives? Oh, I forgot. It's not political. And it's run by three lesbians. Who gives a shit? Everybody has their form of Black Lives Matter in every chapter and everything because it's a good saying. But if black lives really matter, black and black crime matters too. And we should be taking the streets to get these gangs off the streets and getting our kids and turning people out and shooting, gang shooting and drive-by shootings and everything. I don't see no protest on that. So get out of my face with Black Lives Matter bullshit. Until all black matters, including black-on-black crime matters, your political bullshit. And why people quit saying woke. Stop it. Just stop it. You sound ignorant. I'm hearing the pundits and even Ryan. We just played Paul Ryan's thing about being woke. And now Fox News is saying woke. And it disgusts me. Stop it. Just stop it. Well, that's my opinion. You can talk to me about my opinion as we go with their show. Our main topic is, are you a serial killer? And hearing me go off right now, I'm pretty much in the race. And by the way, just a footnote with Paul Ryan. So Paul Ryan comes off this holy and hell, you know, holy and good shit about conservative values and everything. Meanwhile, he's on the board of Fox News. So he's saying all this shit about Donald Trump and everything, but he is on the board of Fox. He's not telling Fox News don't run Donald Trump shit. Fox, he's on the board of Fox News, and that's a person who's perpetuating this bullshit. So if he really wants conservative action, he would stop that shit too. So, again, that's politics speaking out of their ass. That's all I have to say. And you want to talk about politics, because we're going to go on with the show. And it's 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. And we got our great guys in the studio. 602, the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb's in the studio, everybody. King Webb, everybody. Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. Good morning to everybody listening and tuning in right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I seen the story, you know, and I can relate to the story, or you know, the topic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people who don't know, I'm originally from Wichita, Kansas, you know.
Uh-huh.
And any from there, they know about the serial killer BTK, you know.
Sure.
You know, it's weird because to literally talk to this guy, everything, you know what I mean? Like,
really?
He was like my friend pretty much, you know what I mean? And it's crazy because I went to Wichita High School, and
mm-hmm.
anybody in Wichita, you know, we call that Hollywood Heights. You know what I mean? Everybody,
mm-hmm.
man, we from Hollywood, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
We he used to go there, you know what I mean? And then, like,
mm-hmm.
there's a church across the street from the school, and you know, he was like a deacon over there at the church, you know what I mean? He was you know, big church member and everything, you know, over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, on like every first of the month or so, you know, they would hold little I forgot what it was called, but they would hold little like meetings or whatever, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that over there at the church. And I would go over there, you know what I mean, not just, you know, to get out of the school, but you know, they would talk about some helpful things, you know. Then they would talk about God, you know what I mean. And then after that, you know what I mean, they would serve, you know, hamburgers and chips or whatever, and you know, you could, you know, fellowship with one another, you know. So, you know, I would go over there all the time. I would shake his hand. We would talk, you know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, there was a few issues that I was having in my personal life. And he'd be like, well, look, man, just stay focused on school. And, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. And, like, we would
mm-hmm.
have real conversations, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was crazy because when I seen him get caught on the news, that shit fucked me up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh shit, this motherfucker was really killing people. Then I was like, damn, that shit is gangsters and the motherfuckers, you know? I was like, damn. And so there's this girl that I got on my Facebook, man. She's friends with him too, and she literally goes to visit him in prison, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so me and her had some talks, and I told her. And she had told him she and you know, she got back with me, she confirmed it all, and she was like, wow. I said, yeah. I said, I was friends with him, and you know, and so I mean, like, I have his address and everything, you know what I mean? And I'm really thinking about writing him, and
right.
So I can get a letter back, so I can, you know, let people know. Because see, the thing is,
mm-hmm.
most serial killers, they're not mean. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're
mm-hmm.
going to be nice, because their job, their mind is to kill your ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you got some, you got some who was bullied real bad, treated like shit real bad, and they literally going after people who treated them like shit.
Right.
So, but yeah, man, I have to tap in on this topic. You know what I mean? And I don't care. I know people listening are probably like, oh, damn, King Webb friends with a serial killer. You damn fucking right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna judge nobody. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we can't judge nobody, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay to say, well, I ain't fooling with that person. That's on you, you know what I'm saying? But me, my whole life, I realized you really can't judge people by what you hear, because a lot of what you hear and a lot of what you see, most of the time it ain't true. You know what I'm saying? Unless you really tap into shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, man, I'm friends with BTK, you know what I mean? He you know, he's a real cool dude, you know what I mean? He's got some loose screws, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's got some loose screws, but overall he a cool person, you know what I mean? But it's sad to see what he went through and whoever was torturing him, whatever was going on. I mean, he is like, fuck it, I'm getting these motherfuckers back. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, keep telling people I'm the real motherfucking deal. You'll be surprised who I know.
he was something else. And in the middle of the show, you're going to see, we're going to explore some of these serial killer, we're calling them serial killer moms, too. See, we give women a break, man.
Yeah.
We give them a pass. We don't think mothers or women are serial. There was one that I actually, and I didn't know who she was, but she sent me her book. It was an autographed book. And she was a serial killer. I had no idea that I was corresponding with a serial killer. And she sent me her book. She autographed it. She really did. And I go, what the fuck? And she goes, she had a little note, read chapter this. I'm saying, at first I thought she was some author that says, hey, I'm reading a book, read this, I found this out. But it was her. And she goes, how do you like my picture on this one? I go, damn! You know? So you're right. The serial killers, man. I mean, before we get into it, and you know, when y'all listen to gangster rap and you're listening to hardcore, let's go 50 Cent. 50 Cent been shot. I don't know how many times 50 Cent's been shot. We can go with DMX. We can go with 50 Cent. We can go with a lot of people. We can go to Tupac. We can go with Snoop Doggy Dogg, if you want, Snoop Dogg. I mean, I don't consider Tupac a gangster. I don't. Tupac tried his damnedest to stay out of that shit. He talked about it, he sang about it, but Tupac was not a gangster. He didn't belong to any set that I know of. But Snoop Dogg did. Snoop Dogg belonged to the Crips. And that motherfucker, man, sold out everybody. But let's just go with Snoop Dogg, who I do know belonged with the Crips. So if he's running around with the Crips and Crips are shooting up people and killing people and he knows who they are, isn't he friends with a serial killer? I mean, we don't consider gangsters serial killers, but if they're killing people, we can go with the mob and everything, and they're killing people. Aren't they serial killers? We'll talk about that later. We got 316 in here, and I think it's Mr. Barry. I'm not quite sure. 316, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson.
Yes, sir.
There you go, sir. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say something about what King Webb said earlier about, like, don't listen to everything that you hear. You know, that's very valid, because I can tell somebody I went to go pick some grapes in a grapevine, and by the time it gets to the 100th person, I done fucked somebody's mother in that grapevine while making some explicit wine. That's how much stories can get turned around when you tell somebody something.
Damn. See, now that's gangster shit right there. That's gangster.
Yeah.
You just don't know, and Webb is right, man. And we're going to go over these typical serial killer characteristics, because we may have them. You know, when I was a kid, my father used to say, you're one paycheck away from the street to be homeless. I think we're one temper away from killing somebody. But just the way it is, you know what I mean? You could be the nicest person in the world, and then somebody hits you at the wrong day, at the wrong time, and you go off, we're just one temperament away from killing somebody, especially during the pandemic.
And you
want to
know something that's crazy?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I went to Chisholm Trail Elementary School, right? And there was
mm-hmm.
this kid there, and everybody would bully him, and I was the only nice person to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me and said, "Hey, I got my grandpa's shotgun. I'm going to come to school one day. If they keep fucking with me, you'll be okay, but they're fucked." And I was like, yo.
Wow.
That's not the way to do things. And this is the elementary
right.
school. I said, yo, that's not the way to do things. And calm him down. Luckily, he didn't do it. He ended up
right.
transferring school. But it's just like, it's things like that. Like, you can't just go around. That's why, like, if I ever
yep.
see anybody getting bullied, if I ever see anybody talking
yep.
to somebody a certain way, I'm the first person to step up because
right.
you never know what's going to happen. That, like what you were saying, like, it takes one person to break, it takes a straw to break the camel's back. And sometimes
right.
there's no reversing what happens. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand, like, all this bullying stuff and
yep.
treating
yep.
people like shit and not understanding where they're coming from. Like, why would – it could be something as small as making fun of a kid for a shoe. You don't know
right.
what he had to do to get those pair of shoes. And you've
right.
never walked in his shoes, so you would never understand his struggle. And for you to sit there and bully him about it, after he's already
mm-hmm.
had an understanding of, like, you don't know, he don't have his mom, he doesn't have his dad, maybe he's in foster care going home from home getting abused. You don't know anything about this. So
I agree with you.
Serial killers is crazy. There's to me, there's a difference between a serial killer and somebody who just snapped. A serial
mm-hmm.
killer is somebody who is down to do it and wants to do it and finds fun out of it and starts turning it into a game, like Saul. Now, I don't
mm-hmm.
consider somebody who kills somebody on accident and then kills somebody else who figured out about it. That's not a serial killer. A serial killer is somebody who kills somebody, plans out his next victim, watches them, kills them, plans out the next victim, watches them, kills them, and leaves I forget his name. He still hasn't been caught to this day.
Oh, really? The Green River Killer or something? I,
no.
I don't know
he,
if he's been
they think he's dead.
Zodiac Killer?
I was listening to a
Zodiac?
Podcast. Yeah, the Zodiac Killer.
Mm.
Still haven't found him to this day. That's a serial killer.
Well,
yep.
that guy is demented. Something is wrong with him. He found a game out of it. He was haunting people. That's like me going into a cake. That's like me going
yeah.
into Walmart in a toy section with my son and holding Hot Wheels over his face and saying, "You want it? You want it? Huh? You want it? Or you can't have it."
Wow. Well, we're going to go into a mind of a serial killer, and I'm thinking a serial killer is a person who kills a certain type of person, whether they're blonde or fat or they have freckles or whatever. There's just a certain thing about a person that will set them off. I don't know, but it is fascinating. And then I wonder, because I got a lot of great authors that come on a show, and they write books about serial killers and blah. And these are middle-class women that will go to your PTA. And I'm saying, why are you writing things, you know, dismembering and killing and stuff? Do they have this gene that they're it's because you're fascinated with serial killer? Do you have that gene? That, why are you fascinated about that, you know? It's like, we'll go to the extreme, is somebody's reading a book about pedophiles and they're obsessed with pedophile, and then and you go to the library, you go to this house, like King will probably go to the house, it's a good barbecue, King goes, "Can't use the bathroom," you can go to the bathroom, and then there's pictures of kids, you know, and this, King going, "Damn, you know, I don't like what he does, but he makes some good chicken." I'm kidding, King. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got some else. Like, it's kind of like what you're saying is kind of like some people who become doctors or surgeons or stuff like that. As
right.
a kid, they've always, like, ripping shit open like squirrels and stuff like that and seeing what's inside of them.
Exactly.
Now they get to actually do it with humans.
Exactly. Yeah, they get a hard-on in dissection class. Oh, today we're going to take away a butterfly's wing. Oh, they're the first one in class before it even opens. But it's like the firemen who want to be firemen because they're obsessed with fire and they lit fire at kids. And then they're going to go, okay, I can go in this, you know, we may have something here. I don't know. But we're going to go into a mind of a serial killer because first we're going to study the brain, how the brain works. Do you guys ever wonder how your brain works when you're asleep? What does the brain do? It's just amazing how you
still can't. No. Nope.
But it's
I don't think
it's
about
amazing.
That shit. I had some weird ass dreams, man. I don't know. I don't know, man. You tell me. Hammer, I think I might be going crazy, man. You might have to call somebody, send me some help.
But
I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna be quiet. I had this dream where there were two big ass polar bears. A 40-foot one and a 60-foot one, right? Everybody jumps in the fucking swimming pool and they form the shape of a goldfish. And I look at them, I'm like, bro, bears eat fishes. What are you doing? Then I took off running. I woke up and I have that dream literally probably two or three times a year. I think I'm going crazy.
Well, we're going to talk about what those dreams mean. And when you're subconscious, it's like when you're awake, do you control the thoughts that are in your brain, even the misinformation, because you have the logic? But when you're asleep and your subconscious takes over, what does your brain really tell you about you? And what does it do when you're asleep? And when people have dreams like you're saying with the polar bears, there's some people that have reoccurring dreams. And it doesn't mean they dream it every night, but you have that reoccurring dream once in a while and it doesn't make sense. What's your brain telling you? If we have time, we'll explore that. But right now, here we go. You may be a serial killer and you have no idea you're a serial killer. Are you an author that is obsessed with writing about murder, Murder, She Wrote? Are you a guy that you go to bed and you're fighting with your wife all the time and you dream that about killing her or even killing your kids and you wake up in a cold sweat going, oh, my God, and you start hugging your kids because you might have went to sleep that night and you're just pissed off and you're subconscious to say, I want to kill them kids. Does that mean that you're a serial killer? Are you going to harm your children? You'd be surprised what the brain really thinks and why you wake up in a cold sweat. If we have time, we'll get into that right now. Here we go. These are moms on TikTok. These are moms on TikTok. And they're sharing shit. This is some of the things that they share, and they sound like a serial killer. These are actual things that moms are sharing. Copy. There is nothing more beautiful than a mother's love for her child. And also, it seems, nothing creepier. Moms on TikTok are sharing things they do not... Okay, sharing things they do that... It doesn't make sense when I'm reading. Moms on TikTok are sharing things they do that make them sound a little... the copy is just screwed up. It doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, they share things that make them sound like a serial killer. These are some of the things that they share. TikTok user Hannah Williams... Nice work. Use your real name. She started a hilarious conversation last week, and this is what she's talking about. Tell me you're a parent by telling me something that you do that also sounds like would actually be a serial killer doing it. She added, I'll start. Williams, who has over 211,000 followers on TikTok, then showed a pretty, unassuming pendant around her neck. Well, this pendant contains the hair of three children, she explained. I literally snuck into their rooms at night while they were asleep, and I cut their hair off their heads, and now I wear it around my neck. These are actual women on TikTok sharing shit that they may be a serial killer. Now, before we go any further, you guys remember the actress Jolie. It was Angela Jolie, where she was proud to wear the blood of Billy Bob Thornton in a pendant around her neck, and she would show people that that's his blood. Just giving some information.
Man, these killers, these are witches.
And you know what? You know what? You may have something there. You may have something there. She then added that she has a bonus. She then added that she has a bonus mom serial killer item. She says, I have a very expensive collector's item. It's a small box of full teeth. Explained that she doesn't keep it in her house, but a storage unit where she can visit my little teeth whenever I want. She has a small box full of teeth. She collects teeth. Now, she's on TikTok. I think we'll hear her voice in a couple of seconds. Now, she may sound strange. I'm looking at her. But in the club, men, you see, nothing seems as they seem, because you look at her in a club and go, uh-huh, I'm going to hit that tonight. Uh-huh. And your friends are encouraging, yeah, go hit that and everything. And meanwhile, she has a box of teeth somewhere. You got to be careful who you date. I think this is her. Let me see if it's her.
Tell me you're a parent by telling me something that you do that.
Yeah, this is her.
It would actually
so, prepare yourself. Again, prepare yourself, and I'm going to try to play again. This is her talking about on TikTok. She may be a serial killer.
Tell me you're a parent by telling me something that you do that also sounds like it would actually be a serial killer doing it. I'll start. This pendant that I wear around my neck often contains the hair of three children. I cut it off their heads while they slept so that they would let me do it. I literally snuck into their room at night while they slept, and I cut the hair off their head, and now I wear it around my neck. And another one, bonus round, I have a very expensive collector's item small box full of teeth, and I do not keep it in my house. I keep it in my storage unit because that's where they'll be safer, and then I can go to my storage unit and visit my little teeth whenever I want. Your turn.
Some dude married her, and she has a child. That's true. Other moms enthusiastically shared their own stories of not really, but kind of really horror. One lady said, I kept both my kids' umbilical cords. This is some version of it, like keeping umbilical cord stumps were pretty common responses. Here's another lady. Sometimes I'll sit at the end of my daughter's bed and listen to her breathing. Sometimes I'll be there for hours. I need my creepy music for this, man. I really do. These are people actually sharing this shit, and somebody married them that gave them children. Good morning, Angela. Good morning, 954. I think this is Latia. Good morning.
Yes,
how you guys doing?
Good morning.
Hey, baby. Hey. And we have Angela here, too. She's on the road right now. She's doing some very important stuff. Angela, would you like to tell us what's going on? Because she's being focused. Oh, I guess she's on the road. She's on the road doing political stuff. And she's probably just listening. I'll tell you what, Angela. I won't open up your mic. But what I'll do is when you're ready to talk, just hit that one button and I'll see that you're ready to talk. Because I know some people would just dial in just to listen to the show. And it's unfair for me to keep trying to talk to them. All right, so I see you. When you're ready to talk, Angela, just hit that one button. That one on your phone. So I'm going to mute you. She's doing political stuff. Oh, I got to keep her on here. And she'll come in when she can.
You unmuted me. Mute me again.
You want
I'm
me to
so
mute
tired.
You? Do you want me to mute you?
Please.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I'm
Angela.
Tired.
Well,
I haven't
before
slept.
You, before you
this
go,
is too
say
much.
Hello. Say hello to Latia King and
Hi,
Mr.
Latia
Barry.
King and Mr. Barry.
That's right, Columbus Barry in the house. There we go.
Oh, well, that's cool. I know that name.
Yeah.
What's going on, Latia?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Just tired. I'm on my way to Tulsa for the
Are you really?
Continual the commemoration of the Tulsa Race Massacre.
Yeah,
but I didn't sleep last night.
Is this the KKK
so
thing
over.
That? Is this the KKK
no,
thing that you're?
This
you're
is where
to
they massacred.
Right, I have that story. Do me a favor, sweetheart. Send it to my Facebook because I can't have it on the phone. She sent me some great stories, history about Tulsa and Oklahoma and racism and everything, but I can't transfer it from my phone to the studio. Can't hear you. There you go. Well, you could probably hear me. So, I'm going to mute you because I know you're tired. Don't drive tired. Pull over to the side of the road. I'm going to mute you, and I'll come back to you, see if you're there. All right, everybody, we're talking about serial killers, and could you be... Latia, you sound so nice and innocent. I mean, I would invite you to a PTA meeting and have you babysit my kid, but are you a serial killer? Are you capable of killing someone?
No, I don't think I'm able to do
that. Oh, hello, baby. Okay.
I'll probably
kick
out before I do anything.
Mm. If I gave you a knife and I bought this island and I put your ex in the same room and whatever happens, nobody will ever discover, would you think about stabbing him? I mean, well, you know, you're already thinking of an alibi. You haven't even done it yet. All right. I hear you.
And I'm standing all... right at his front door.
So we're all capable of doing something. We're one temper away or one fit away to do something that we usually won't do. But let's talk about serial killers. So these women are on TikTok and they're saying this shit. Nobody thinks anything of it. They're saying this shit. So, let me get rid of some of this stuff here. We'll go on with that. Because we keep thinking moms are not serial killers. But if you look at the last pandemic and you look at the news, you're hearing, I have never heard of so many stories about mothers killing their children. I mean, almost every day I'm looking at mothers stabbing their kids. Here's another one. Her name is Jules Mura. On the other hand, I also like mementos. I still hold my daughter's fingernails in my hand for a while after I clip them because they're so tiny and makes me cry. Somebody had children by her. Here's another one. She calls herself Crazy Martyr. She said she saves her kids' teeth, she kept their umbilical cords, and watched them while they're sleeping. Frederick says he shared a video that she does the same, but takes it up a notch. Sometimes late at night when they're sleeping, I creep upstairs and I just watch them and I take pictures. Others share the Dexter-like things their own parents have done. Collecting teeth and hair were common, though some apparently don't admire collecting. My dad collected all three of me and my siblings' teeth and 11 dogs' worth of teeth. He plans to make a prayer bracelet out of it. Well, that's nice. Very nice. Others don't stop at the infant phase. Remember the woman I was telling you about that I didn't know that she was a serial killer and she sent me the book? Well, the title of her book was called Monster. You can look it up on Amazon. And she was the first real serial killer. Her first book was called Monster. Well, she shared that, I mean, there's another woman that shared their mothers took it to another level. When I got into my car accident, a piece of my ankle bone broke off in my car, and my mom kept it. That's probably a winner, and by winner, I mean run fast. And yet the most common response is perhaps the most telling, where did you get the pendant? I want it. All right. Is it common? I mean, there's a common thread here. Do women keep umbilical cords? I mean, the common thing is they keep the teeth. I mean, is that creepy or is that normal? I have no idea. So to me it's creepy, but these women claim it's normal. I have no idea. Wow. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, to a certain extent, I feel like certain things are okay, but then it's starting to get a little weird. I mean, my mom has my first haircut. I can get something like that, you know what I mean? Or first tooth. I can get that when you collect all of them.
Right.
And you collect, I mean, like, I can understand taking pictures of your kids when they're on you when you sleep, but if you go out, how many pictures do you need? They sleep in the same position, don't they?
Right. Right.
Let the roles be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Let this be a dad doing all this shit.
Ooh. Ooh.
Then everybody's saying, oh, why are you doing that? That's fucking disgusting. You're sick of you. Fucking pedophile and stuff like that. That's
right.
It's weird on both ends. On both ends.
It is weird on both ends. I mean, if I'm married to somebody and I see her standing over my baby's crib and she's just staring at her and just clip her hair. I mean, why don't you just brush the kid's hair and then if you're into the hair, just pull it out from the brush or something, but you take it from the kid's head. Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this. It just sounds weird to me. Serial killers.
There's nothing like a mother's love, but I feel like that is to a new extreme.
You're
not going anywhere anytime soon.
Tia, did you ever do that? Tia, I know you love your babies, but have you ever done anything like that?
Oh, no. My baby's teeth ain't fall out yet.
But
even when my son got his first haircut, I didn't save none of his hair. I didn't do any of that. Like I take a picture when they sleep, but other than that, no.
Right. Right. Hello, baby. You're right. You are on the air, and they love you. And that's Latia's baby. Shout out to her fans. She knows they're out there. She knows we may hear kick, 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 but she's really transmitting some shit. And she's saying black baby matters. Y'all, rise up. Get out of that crib. She's sending messages. All right, here we go. Serial killer. This is a man who explains the inside of a mind of a murderer. Let me see. Do I still have her? Yeah, I do. Angela, you have your hand up? You want to say something, kid? Angela? Okay. What I'm going to do is mute everybody so we can hear the inside of a mind of a murderer and see if you recognize it. Here we go. Hang in there, kids.
I had muted myself. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see that you may hit the one.
I saved my daughter's umbilical cord and
did you
native
really?
Rights.
Right.
So I had someone do beading around it. Because they said it was good medicine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't know
well,
the hospital would let... How do you save an umbilical cord? Because...
And then the part that falls off the belly button.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the part you see. I got both of theirs. I got them.
What?
I don't see an issue with that. I don't see an issue with that.
It is.
I mean, that's
not uncommon.
That's a connection type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Connection type thing. Now, when you start pulling hair out while they're asleep, that's a
I don't know about these secrets that mothers do. I don't know. Strange to me. These are secrets. And they might be normal.
And clip the baby's nails while the baby's asleep.
Save the clippings, though?
That was my...
I don't think I did. No, I didn't.
That was my problem. I told him every time.
Did you really?
Yeah, my mom used to get so mad. She was like, put him down, he's asleep. I'm like, yeah, but this is my baby. Like... But with my daughter, she was like, why you want to put her down that? With this and that, so it's different with the second baby.
I think you also have to take into consideration they've been carrying that baby for 9 months and now it's actually in their hands, in their possession. They actually get to hold it, feel it, love it.
Really?
That's another thing, too, that probably takes a factor into it.
Yeah, my mom and dad understand. She used to get so mad with me. She'd be like, you going to spoil him. You need to put him down. Let him sleep on his own butt. And I'm like, lady, I have this little baby face, and I'm like, can I enjoy him, please? She used to get so mad. I used to take pictures of him. Every time he get out the shower, like, I'll dress him up, put him on his little hat, and she'll get, I'm like, it's my baby.
Right, right. Right, I hear you. Wow. I mean, the most I would do is probably when he was born, I would probably put his feet in cement. I would probably do that, you know, so I can get his footprint. That's what I would do, you know, when you were born. Is that wrong? Put the baby in cement? I mean, I don't know.
No, but just make sure you wash the baby's feet off.
Yeah, I know he's walking around.
Baby ain't going to have no top of grip.
No. No, that baby, nope. That baby gonna grow up to be 21 years old with a toddler sized foot. That's what's gonna happen.
That's my boy. That's my boy. Okay. Oh man. Well, here you go. Inside of a mind. Well, insider. Let me see what I got here. I have. Here's an expert reveals the 12 key traits. These are the 12 key traits that's in common with serial killers. And some of them might surprise you. So here you go. He's an expert. These are the key traits. Here we go. Can anybody guess what they are? I mean, there's 12 of them. Let me see here. Did they mention? Okay, yeah, they are. Well, they go to Ted Bundy, to the BTK killer, to Charles Manson. And I noticed some of these traits I recognize in some people I have hired and talked to. Here we go. What number is this? Shallow. Oh, they're not numbered. Okay. I'll just go through it. Here we go. These are traits, 12 traits, that you may be a serial killer. And see if you recognize these traits. It might not be you, but will it be a friend of yours? Here we go, and this according to an expert. Gary Ridgway pleaded guilty to killing 48 women. 48 women. Mostly prostitutes. Well, they should have lowered their price. You know, go big or go home. So he killed these prostitutes who were easy prey and were rarely reported missing, at least not immediately. I don't believe in man, God, nor devil. I hate the whole damn human race, including myself. I preyed upon the weak, the harmless, and the unsuspecting. This lesson I was taught to by others doesn't make it right. Maybe he was reading the Bible. He was a Ridgway killer. He had adult antisocial behavior. Do you know anybody who has antisocial behavior? Loners? Cranky? Don't get along with others? Nothing but negative to say when you do talk to them? He says, when I was a boy, I never had a friend in the world. He was a German serial killer. Heinrich Peckermoki, whatever. He began raping and murdering girls as a teen. As a teen, he would rape and murder them. As a teen. Now, what is a common trait? He had early behavioral problems. That's a common trait. Do you have a son or a daughter that has behavioral problems? Can you see it as an infant? Are they destructive? Do they hit the dog? Do they hurt the cat? Do they slap you when you say, hi, little baby, and they bitch slap you, and then they try to kick you in the ass? Or how about the babies, guys? I don't know if this is normal, but when you get a baby, why does he always try to kick us in the balls? It seems like babies try to kick us in the balls every freaking time. You pick up the baby, hi, little bit, and he kicks you in the balls. I think that's early behavior problems. Is it true? Is it true? Come on. How many times have you been kicked in the balls? Or how about ladies, when you change a diaper, he purposely pee in your face? I mean, what's going on with that? You have to get out of the way. He holds that shit. Yeah, change me. Here's another one. I see myself more as a victim rather than a perpetrator. John Wayne Gacy said that. He said that. In a rare moment of, and you know who John Wayne Gacy is. That's the guy who dressed up like the clown, and he performed at kids' parties as a clown, and he killed people. Da 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 da. I see myself more as a victim rather than a perpetrator, said John Wayne Gacy, in a rare moment of admitting the murders. I was cheated out of my childhood. I should have never been convicted of anything more serious than running a cemetery without a license. They were just a bunch of worthless little queers and punks. Huh. Well, what is his trait? Lack of responsibility. Remember, you guys, these are the common traits of a serial killer. Lack of response. Have you ever met anybody that, even if they did something and they were not responsible, they always blamed somebody else, or it wasn't them, or wasn't their fault? You catch them red-handed. You burn the damn food. It wasn't my fault that the gas, that the oven didn't work. Why the kids are still in their diaper? It's not my fault. He's 6 months years old. He should have got up and changed himself. Got to learn to stand up to be a man. Lack of responsibility is the trait. Here we go again. This guy said this. Albert Fish. He's a masochistic killer. He had a side of sadism that included sending a letter to the mother of one of his victims describing in detail how he cut, cooked, and ate her daughter. Well, that's nice of him. At least he sent a letter. Some people don't send anything. I went to summer camp and I got a letter. So he sent a letter to the mother describing how he cut, cooked, and ate her daughter. Even the idea of his own death was one he found particularly thrilling. Going to the electric chair will be the supreme thrill of my life, he said. Albert Fish, everybody. What is his trait? The need for excitement. Do you ladies like to date the bad boys on a motorcycle? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to hang out with the bad boys? You want to hang out with the gangsters? Nothing is, everything has to be excitement. You want to one-up it. You're not happy with missionary, so now you're doggy style. You're not happy with doggy style. You want to get into St. Bernard, and you want to get into other styles, and you're not happy with that. You want to do dangerous things outside? Let's make love outside. Why? We got a perfectly good house here. I'm paying the mortgage. I want to go outside. The need for excitement. The trait of a serial killer. Dennis Nelson.
Oh, I get it now. I get it. Okay.
You get it? Yeah. So these are the traits that these serial killers have, and they are common traits that we may have.
When picking you up isn't enough, he wants to get hung from a cellophane. I can't even change the cellophane light bulb. Oh,
that's right. That's right. Dennis Nelson. He could not control his behavior. Now, ladies, do you have a child that can't control his behavior? Do you think he has, maybe because he has autism? Maybe because he has deficit attention disorder? We can make excuses of that. Well, let's talk about a person who couldn't control his behavior. His name is Dennis Nelson. I wish I could stop it, but I could not. I had no other thrill of happiness. said the UK killer, Dennis Nelson, who killed at least 12 young men via strangulation. Now, when you kill 12 men of strangulation, you're up close. You want to hear the sounds. You want to hear it. You want to smell the death up close. Then what he did was he bathed them and dressed their bodies before disposing of them, often by burning them. Then he gave them a bath. Then he dressed them up. Let's go, you know, going camping, and he burned them. 12. The trait, poor behavior control. That's the trait, poor behavior control. You just can't control yourself. How many times has your parents or your grandparents said, you just can't help it. You just can't control yourself. Well, that's one of the traits that a serial killer had. Another one, Tommy Lynn Sells. What is his trait? All of us have it. But let me tell you what he did. Tommy Lynn Sells, who claimed responsibility for dozens of murders throughout the Midwest and South. He saw a woman at a convenience store and followed her home, an impulse he was unable to control. He waited until the house went dark. Then I went into the house. I go to the first bedroom and I see. I don't know whose room it is, and all I did was start stabbing. The victim was a woman's young son. That's all he did. He did it on impulse. The trait? Impulsive. Do you know anybody who's impulsive? Hey, honey, let's go have dinner. But I thought we were going to stay in. Ah, who cares? After dinner, hey, you know what? Let's take a carriage ride in Central Park. But it's like winter time and it's 12 midnight. Yeah, who cares? It's still open. Do you know impulsive people? It's one of the traits. Rudolf Pyle. He's a German serial killer, Rudolf. He was convicted of killing 10 people and later took his own life in prison. He compared his hobby of murder to playing cards and later told police, "What I did is not such a great harm. With all these surplus women nowadays, anyway, I had a great time." Trait, shallow emotions. Hey, dude, you know what? We could have killed somebody. Eh, who cares? Dude, that was crazy. What did you do that for? What the fuck? Do you know anybody like that? Shallow emotions. Hey, dude, we got to go to a funeral. Oh, fuck it. I don't want to go. I'm watching the game. We got to say goodbye to the dude. I never liked the dude in the first place. Motherfucker owed me money. Shallow emotions. Trait. And here we are. John Wayne Gacy. He refused to take responsibility for the 28 boys that he buried beneath his house. Even though he was once said that clowns can get away with murder, I think after 14 years under truth serum, had I committed the crime, I would have known it, said the man. The neighbors all claimed to like. Didn't King give a good review on a serial killer? What a cool dude. King, you should write a song, man. You should write a song. Especially it's in Kansas, too. Yeah. King's the only one at the funeral crying. Oh, man. He said, I would have known it, said the man the neighbors all claimed to like. There's got to be something that would click in my mind. I had photos of 21 of the victims, and I look at them all over the years here, and I never recognized any of them. John Wayne Gacy. What was his trait? Every woman has this trait. Every woman has this trait. There's the first clue. Let me see if the men can guess. Every woman has this trait. What was the trait? Every woman has it, King. I'll give you a hint. No, I won't. You must know the hint. What your ex must have done at one time or another that made you not trust her. What was it? What was it? Every woman has it. Okay. Deceitful and manipulative. That was his trait. He was deceitful and he was manipulative. Every woman has that. What are you saying that I'm going out with somebody else? Well, you're all dressed up. I dress like this. I dress up like this when you're not around. By here, ain't I? Okay. What are you talking about? I can't talk to nobody on Facebook. He's my friend. Well, he's your friend. When did you become friends with him? Last month. I can have friends if I want to. Well, I know, because your friend just sent me naked top of pictures of you. Well, it's my body. And we're just friends. Don't act like that. Deceitful and manipulative. Men do the same thing. Andre. Now, this guy was something special. He was called the Butcher of Rostov. He's very special. What Andre did was he feasted on bits of genitalia, both male and female, after he kills. Thought nothing of taking a life, no matter how torturous it was for the victim. The whole thing, the cries, the blood, the agony, it gave me relaxation, and I felt a certain pleasure. So after he killed somebody, he ate their genitalia. Well, you are what you eat. That's what they say. I mean, is it really wrong? I mean, well, some people eat pussy when it's alive. I mean, isn't that cannibalistic? I don't know. What is his trait? The lack of empathy. He doesn't really care. And if you know somebody with a lack of empathy, and you know what that means, I really don't care. I really don't care. Dude, it's raining and your kids are outside. You promised to pick them up at 5. Why didn't you pick them up? Oh, damn. Well, it's cold out there. Can you at least get a jacket to them? Yeah, all right. All right. I'm on my way, all right? Quit nagging me. Meanwhile, the kid's a snowman. You can't tell the difference between your kid and a snowman that somebody built out there. I'll get him a jacket. Quit bugging me. He's fine. Another person, Joel Rifkin. Joel Rifkin was filled with self-pity after he was convicted of killing and dismembering at least 9 women. He called his conviction a tragedy, but later in prison, he got into an argument with a mass murderer, Colin Ferguson, over whose killing spree was more important. And when Ferguson taunted him for only killing women, Rifkin said, yeah, but I had more victims. Yeah, that's nice. Let's put the serial killers together. You know, it's like a reunion so they can compare victims. I mean, that's a good thing to do. What was his trait? Lack of remorse or guilt. Damn, lady, I come in the house, we've been married for all this year, and you're having an affair. Well, don't blame me. If you wouldn't come home so early, you wouldn't caught us, motherfucker. It's on you. Lack of remorse or guilt. Next time, you better call first before you come home. Come home like that unexpected. Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper thought the world of himself and felt he would outsmart the police, so much so that he sent letters taunting the London officers. Jack the Ripper used to send letters like, "Dear boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they looked so clever and talked about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores, and I shan't quit ripping them till I get buckled. Grand work, the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work, and I want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper real stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue, and I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha ha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send them to the police officers. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away if I get a chance. Good luck. I don't know if they ever caught Jack the Ripper. I don't know if they ever caught him. Some say he was a medical doctor. Some say that he was related to royalty. There you go. What is his common trait? Jack the Ripper? Jack the Ripper's common trait was he was egocentric and grandiose. Person bragging about themselves all the time. They're the one, they're the man, even my theme. These are traits of a serial killer. Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a charmer, the kind of guy that made it easy for people to be swept into his web. Swept into his web. Huh, let me think. Let me go back in history. That sounds familiar. Swept into his web. Where did I hear that before? Don't get caught in my web, swept in my... I don't know. Don't get swept in my web. Don't get caught in my web. Rings a bell. All right. I'll figure it out who it is. Because I am a detective. And he is friends with a serial killer. Wow. All right. That might be a clue. All right, here we go. I don't know. Don't get caught in my web. I don't know.
He's got caught in the web.
You like a nice guy? Want to party with him?
Web music and fame up in this bitch, you know what I mean? Shout out to my man, Skittyville Productions, you know what I'm saying?
Sounds like he's going to kill somebody. Nice guy. Where did I hear, don't get caught in my web?
So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. Every time I turn around, I see you face, some of them are just sharks. Swim in the lake. I don't give a shit if you running with me or not. Bitch nigga, show your actions on a subliminal shot. Loyalty and lies, you a lie, I'm not surprised. No. If it wasn't for me, boy, your career wouldn't even rise. Thought you was my friend to the very fucking end. Now the same fucking manager that pissed me off again. Trying to get my damn label straight and do me. Rise up in the charts, me and SVP.
Yeah.
And all y'all ever do is talk shit on me.
I don't care.
And I don't give a damn, I'ma stay doing me. I'm really starting to hate life, all we do is live and die. God is on my side, so you better know the devil lies. Spotter in the web, catching you motherfucking flies. Check my 30 bucks was bold, but never wise, huh? So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I'll leave you hanging a thread. Say you vegetarian, but you starting beef. If you feeling froggy, then nigga, you better leave. Fuck that nigga, left here, nothing bigger, nothing, huh?
You big?
You niggas out here fighting, need to stop or we'll get stumped. Not out to sell my soul, fuck the money or fame. Sony fucked me over, but won't mention my name.
You crook?
Doggy dog, girl, that's the name of the gang.
Swallow the gas and watch it burn in the flames. Not here to duplicate, just to reiterate, not play a hate. If you want to learn to take notes and self-educate, don't get misled by churches or bishop TDJs. Families are struggling while pastors and deacons out each day.
So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread. So don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, so don't get caught in my web, I leave you hanging in the thread.
King Web, the King, the Royal Hiney. Don't get caught in my web, King Web. There you go. I like that. I do like that.
Hey, you know what? After I made that song, my old manager, he moved out of Phoenix.
Really?
Hell yeah, that nigga moved out of Phoenix. Because he knew I was looking for his ass.
He got the message, right? He got the message.
Hell yeah. So he's always, you know, he'll talk a little shit here and there on his Facebook or whatever. But like I told him, I said, look, dude, you stole from me. I said, you better be happy I ain't caught your ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, this guy, he set himself up for failure because he was pretending to be a A&R from Def Jam, and since he really didn't make enough money, you know what I mean? Def Jam couldn't really do anything, you know what I mean? Because I did call Def Jam and report him, but they couldn't really do nothing, you know what I mean? But, yeah, after I made that song, man, like, dude hurried up and moved out of Phoenix. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, I'm not one of those nice guys that's just gonna let you fuck me over. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
If you doing shit and you bragging about it like it's cute, I'm gonna show you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. And so, you know, every song that I do, if I'm feeling up to it, I'm gonna throw them out there, let them know, nigga, I'm still gonna find you. You know what I mean? Because he out there in L.A.
Oh, is he?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't know. Like, I can have some little homies or somebody just run up on his ass and fuck him up. But he wanted him a little fat, you know what I mean? He wanted him a little homosexual motherfuckers, you know what I mean? So, I ain't, you know, he ain't really shit. So. Yeah.
I like the song, though, man. He got the message.
Yep.
I like it. Hey, don't get caught in my web.
Him,
yeah.
Him and this other artist that I had a little issue with, you know what I mean? Like, they all already know, because, see, me personally, the one artist that I was working with, if it wasn't for me, this guy wouldn't even have got in, like, XXL magazine and did some other things, you know? And, see, back then, I was really hooking artists up, you know what I mean? Like, people was really wasting my time back then, you know what I mean? And so they would get a little shine, and they would forget about me, like, oh, they did it all on their own. And I was the one who had helped this one artist out. And even to this day, this same artist, he's the one who made the I Don't Give a Damn beat. And I told him, I said, watch, I could take one of your beats right now, and I can blow it. I could have that shit blown up, you know what I mean? And I told him, I said, the difference between me and everybody that you work with, you're going to get credit for it, which means, like, each time my song gets streamed, he gets paid and I get paid. You know what I'm saying? So,
really?
You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of competition right now, because there was three artists. It was me, him, and then there was another guy. And we had the guy that I'm talking about, and Don't Guard My Web. He was our manager, you know what I mean? So it was three of us. And so the one artist, He had like maybe 10 to 20 albums, you know what I mean? But they all sounded like garbage, because the guy, he rushed through the songs. He didn't take his time to really mix them, master them, and get them professionally. So he's sitting on like 10 to 20 albums right now that sound like bullshit. and they're not going anywhere
right.
because, you know, he would rather sit in the hood, slang dope, hustle, do all these
mm-hmm.
shit instead of market music, you know what I mean? So, like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, man, it's, so that's why, you know, in certain parts of Don't Call My Web, I'm missing
mm-hmm.
a certain shit, you know what I mean? And then, like, and Don't Call My Web, I'm talking about Bishop T.D. Jakes because it's like, dude, you got that big-ass church out there in Dallas, but none of your team be out there in them damn vehicles that you got. Y'all not doing shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, and I mean, if I'm wrong, correct me, but I did not hear anything about Bishop T.D. Jakes helping anybody during this fucking coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I hear
but
you.
But yeah, man. Yeah.
Damn. Well, I like that. Here, I like that. Don't get caught in my web. I do.
Yeah.
I have that. I told you I have that on my phone, and I work out with that shit. I do have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and the version that
mm-hmm.
you just played, that's the old
mm-hmm.
version. The new version is
mm-hmm.
the one that you played a few days ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well. Both of them are great. Like I said, I have that, and I put Love and Affection on my phone, too. I was listening
Hell,
to
yeah.
that, too. It goes out to
shout
out to Columbus Berry. I did. I really did. I like them. And I don't put a lot of stuff on my phone, but
yeah.
I do like it.
Oh, yeah.
Now
it's actually on all streaming platforms, too, by the way.
Oh, is
Hell,
it?
Yeah.
Man. I don't like
yeah,
it.
I just got to
share it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just got done sharing Love and Affection just now. So,
did you really? Check
yeah.
that out.
I'm about to be talking some shit too because I noticed I got some artists from my hometown on my page, and them motherfuckers are like they see this shit but they don't want to share it. So I'm about to talk a little shit because it's like fuck God, y'all gonna hear us.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on a platform.
They talking about we got some singer back at home. They call his name is Rudy Love Jr. And I
mm-hmm.
guess he's supposedly some, you know, big time R&B singer back in the city. But me personally, I ain't never heard of the nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't even
mm-hmm.
know who he is. You know what I mean?
Man,
so it's like he's irrelevant.
My dad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he used to sing when we used to have a whole bunch of stories, dude. I don't know either. I've only saw him a handful of times. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm working and learning StreamYard. And if you guys don't know what StreamYard is, I love how they're hooked up. We used to have a friend named Big Meech used to come on the show. He started his local
yeah.
show on StreamYard, and you could advertise on that shit, and you can advertise your personal shit. I'm going to learn it this weekend, and I would like to start getting musicians up there. I'm looking at you, King. I'm looking at you, Columbus, that I can interview you on stream, and it's live on Facebook. We see our faces there, and I could put the album or the single or the cover right there as we talk, and it's live on Facebook. So I'm working that out because I do want to start putting people out there, branding people again, marketing people, and getting your faces out there. So I'm working on that. And I think that would be a nice thing to do, especially on all your Facebook. They can see it right there, like a billboard in New York. So that's what I'm working on, to get musicians out there. And hope you two will be the guests, my first guest when I do it, because I know Latia would be there. Right, Latia? Latia, I'm going to get Latia's T-shirt going, I've been hammered. Mm-hmm. So much for the T-shirt.
Or hammer time.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello.
That's right. The number one. I know. The number one. We did 12. The number one serial killer. Here it is. You guys all know him, Ted Bundy. See, Ted Bundy was a charmer, the kind of guy that made it easy for people to be swept into his web. just like my friend King Webb. I liked him immediately, but people like Ted. And Ted can fool you completely, you know, said Anne. She's the author of the book, Stranger Besides Me. She was talking about her experience with Bundy and a man who she considered a friend. I'd been a cop, had all that psychology, but his mask was perfect. I say that long acquaintance can help you know someone, but you can never be really sure. It's scary. Ted Bundy. What was the trait? Ted was smooth. He was a smooth-talking person, but he was insecure. Smooth but insincere. I'm sorry, insincere. Now, ladies, you all met us, and most men are like that. Oh, man, you look so fine. Look at that. How much you weigh? Well, I don't have a scale, but sit on my face, and I can guess your weight. Uh-huh. Damn, you look good. I want you to have my kids. And as soon as you fall for that shit, and then your boyfriend and girlfriend, he doesn't pay attention to you, going, why are you still here? Treat you badly. He's insincere. Doesn't care about your feelings. I'm about to have your baby. Can you take me to the doctor? My water broke. Well, you better clean up that shit. I just bought that rug. He's kind of insecure. I mean, insincere. Smooth talking. Ladies, you all had it. You all heard it. You know somebody just like that. That's his trait. Smooth talking but insincere. I have that trait. Damn. All right, this is where we take our little break, and then we're going to hear a guy talk about, he's a psychologist, only for 7 minutes, and he's going to talk about, are you a serial killer? I have a friend, Morgan, you're listening. I know Morgan's listening. Morgan was an EMT, but he interviewed, help me out. You got the series right now. He interviewed Silence of the Lamb. Help me out. The Silence of the Lamb guy. Well, he interviewed him. Come on. People know the Silence of the Lamb guy? Clarice? Forget it. Anyway. I know you're listening, Morgan, coming in the studio. All right, everybody, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to get a little bit of coffee, get my energy up. We got the second half of the show coming right up, and we're going to get you in the mind of, are you a serial killer? We're going to talk more about business, relationship. What else are we going to talk about? We're also going to talk about moms who kill, and Kim Kardashian. I don't know what she has to do with anything. We're going to talk about that, and maybe the movies that you should see in the movie theater. You're listening to Brian, the Hammer Jackson, 96.7. Hey, and if you're still listening, Tia, I think she's here. If you're still listening, Tia, I have a little song for you. That's right, baby. I got a song for you. And you know you're young enough to be my daughter. In fact, you're younger than my daughter. So I feel so ashamed. All right. You know, is that wrong? The more money you make, the younger girls you can get. That's just how it works. Even Hugh Hefner had to. All right. Hi, baby. Hi, baby.
Oh, baby.
I know, baby. Okay. Yes, baby. I understand. Yeah, I'm going to a commercial, baby. Here you go. I'm sending this out to Tia. You're listening to Hammer 96.7. We'll be right back. Just taking a little break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
It sounds like springtime on this February morning. In a courtyard, birds were singing your praise. I'm still recalling things you said to me. Feel so high, though I am not above the sorrow. heavy-hearted till you call my name. And it sounds like church bell or the whistle of a train on a summer evening. I'll run to meet you barefoot, barely feet.
How people send messages, right? So King sent a message to his manager to get the hell out of town. Now, that's a nice song. Now, I know that Chia didn't have time to send me a response, but if she did, I know what her response would be. And this would be her response.
I'll be your mother. I'm just a
Latia, calm down now. Shame on you. I'm old enough to be your father. Oh, my God. Here you go. I know. It gives you a stomach ache. I know. All right. I don't know if that's Latia or the baby. What do you think, King? I don't know.
She's
Although she has a stomach ache or something. All right. I'll behave yourself. I'm old enough to be the kid's grandfather. Shame on you. Shame.
Oh, let's do the prank calls.
Oh, you want to do the prank calls? You want to do them?
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yes, Latia?
I said, let's do the one you talked about yesterday.
Okay. What I'm going to take, okay, for me to do the prank call, I have to get my headset on, so I have to play another song. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call a Japanese massage parlor. It sounds funny. It sounds funny right now. But when you don't know how the call is going to go. They could hang up on me. They cannot answer the phone. A lot of shit can happen.
Yeah.
But if I can get them talking for at least 30 seconds, it'll work. So, I'm going to call a massage parlor, and I'm going to tell them I want a refund. And the reason I want a refund is because the woman touched my penis. I didn't ask for that. So that's how it's going to go. So we're going to see how it works, and hopefully they'll keep me on. If I get them for 30 seconds, I got the prank. If I didn't, it's going to go wrong, but I think that's what it is. But we got Cole coming in the studio. We got 14 minutes. Cole, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, Cole? We have Latia and we have King in the studio today, and we're going to try to make a crank call to a Japanese massage parlor.
Hey, and then when we get done with that one, I'ma send you Faison Love, who played Big Women Friday. I was gonna send you his number so we could prank call him too.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay. All right. That'll be funny.
I'm about to send it to your inbox right now.
Okay. It is Friday, so we're gonna try.
That's the last number that I had of his, so I don't know if it changed or not, but we'll try it, though.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. I'm going to have to change let me play another song so I can get in my headset, because I'm going to have to go out of the studio, get back in, and get Blog Talk on my headset. And until then, that sounds funny. Let's do it. Let's see if it works. The time you're looking for is 30 seconds. If I can keep them on the phone for at least 30 seconds, I got the call. Less than that, it didn't go well. Cole, do you have anything? You had a couple of stories. Do you talk to me? What's going on with you? Are you still in New York or are you still in Florida?
No, I'm in New York. No, go ahead. Do your thing, man. I'm waiting for the phone calls. It'd be good.
Well, I can't do it yet because I'm just... Right now, I got to pull up some numbers, and I got to get my headset on, and I got to hit that. So it's going to take a couple of minutes. So while we had a couple of minutes, I was just seeing what's going on with you.
Everything's good, man. Everybody's
you sound
all right.
Good. Yeah. You send me some stuff that let me see. You sent me some stuff that was on Facebook. I got it. Thank you, King. We're going to try that. We're going to try that. Oh, man. Tell me how you want me to go with him. Like, you want me to tell him he wants some money or something on his crank call? What do you want me to do with him?
Yeah, just be like, you know, I see you submitted a resume for a position in a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like you know how to just be like, you know, we got your submission, and wow, you played in Friday, and you know what I mean? Just kind of just telling, well, we got you scheduled to come in on Monday. Will you be able to make it? And then just go from there.
Okay. All right. I like that. So he was submitting, I guess he was submitting for a casting notice for a movie, and I'll just tell him that he got it, that he got the part.
Yeah.
Do you know what movie it was or what part that he was going out for? Because he might ask me, well, what?
Oh, shit. I got to come up with something.
I got it. All right. Let's start that one. I like that one. Let me get the headset on, and we're going to start that off. We're going to do that one, and then we'll go to the massage parlor. All right, that sounds funny. So hang in there. So I know Cole and Latia King, I haven't asked you, is there any song that you want, you know, out there? Because I need a song to put my headset on. Here's some. Here, let me see. No.
Just go ahead and put that Love and Affection on.
Well, it's too short because it's 2 minutes, but I will play Love and Affection.
Uh-oh.
I got one here. Oh, damn, I got so many songs here. Okay, here we go. It's 3 minutes and 41 seconds, and this should do it. This should do it right here so I can get my headset on. And then we're going to make that crank call. This is the first time I ever made a crank call when somebody submitted a number to call a dude. That's going to really step it up.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to I like that shit. We'll be right back, changing my headset. We're going to make the crank call. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. We got Cole in the studio. We got Latia in the studio. We got the Kings of Kings in the studio. King Webb, your Royal Heinies in the studio. When we come back, we're making a crank call. We'll be right back.
She takes my money. Well, I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head. She need a bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Far as girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have an ass like Serena, Trina, Gina, for Lopez, 4 kids. And I gotta take all they badass to show this. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I put up in the Benz, they all got a Benz. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you fucking with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to fuck with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup, yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your ass, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messin' with no broke niggas, Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messin' with no broke niggas, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down, Get down, girl, gon' head. Now I ain't saying you a gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy weed. you go out to eat, you can't pay, y'all can't leave. It's dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it to a Benz out of that action. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week it's a surprise. So keep by his side. I know his dude's ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl. Get down, girl, gon' head you down. Get down, girl, gon' head you down. Get down, girl, gon' head you down. Get down, girl, gon' head. Let me hear that back.
Okay, I'm testing. I have my headphone. I don't know if anybody can hear me. Can anybody hear me? Hold one second.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm not connected. Okay, hold on. Let me play another song, and I got to get connected. Hold on. Let me see. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay, testing 1, 2, 3. Can you guys hear me? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah. Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Let me turn this up. Okay, I'm testing again. King, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, let me turn this
yep.
up. Okay, good. Latia, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, man. King, you could hear me, though, right?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, let's do it then.
If you guys can hear Brian, say something.
Yeah, say something, because I'm on a headset now, and I'm having a hard time connecting. Cole? Latia?
Hello, anybody? Can y'all hear? Are they on mute? Or
no,
if you guys are on mute,
no.
You can mute yourself.
Right. Now, Cole, let me see. They can't hear me. If they can't, well, let's make the call and see if he can hear me. Because if you can hear me, King, maybe they could. Maybe they're busy. All right, here we go. We're going to call, see if I can do this. We're going to call King's friend. His name is Faison. What is it, Faison?
Yeah.
Big Worm?
Yeah, that was his character name in the movie Friday, Big Worm.
Oh, okay. But his name is Faison, right? Faison?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we can make the call. Let's see if we can do it here. All right. I'm not scripted. I have no idea what I'm going to say to him. I got an idea. I know he wants to be an actor, right, King? He wants to be an actor. He's looking for roles to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him as an executive of Touchstone Films. He'll know that's a part of Disney. He'll know who Touchstone Films are. That's Disney. So let's see if we can make the call. Here we go. Let's try it again.
All right.
Let's try it again. Let me see here. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Got the number. Here we go.
Get the hell out of that bingo. I told you I ain't playing along.
Oh, you just afraid I'm going to whip you in front of all these folks.
What the hell you think you're doing?
Listen, I just want to play a little gag on my friend over there. Now, you just give me the ball, and I'll be a boy for the rest of your life, all right?
What do you niggers think this is?
What do you not niggers is?
Okay, that was his, I guess that was his answering machine, right? I guess that was his answering machine. All right. That was his answering, that was his answering machine. Well, we tried. If you have anybody else that you want to see if we can punk, that'd be cool. Let me see here. Let me see. Massage parlor. Let me see. Let's go Japanese. And sometimes this works. It works on paper, but when we call, let's see, phone number. And, okay, I got mine locally. Let's see. Let's where we want to go. Japanese. Where would they be? Because it's too early in California. Let's go New York. New York is too smart. Let's get something. Let's get a small town. Let's go Texas. Let's see if they have. Let's see if they have. Texas. Let's go Texas and see what we got here. They have a Japanese massage parlor. In Texas, let me see. Let's see if they do have these. No, they're not giving me that. Oh, this is not going well. Let me see, Japanese. Okay. And let me see here. I got Japanese massage. And let's say Texas. Cole, are you on the line at all? Okay, let's see what we got. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Advantage Massage Centers, Barari Day Spa, Element Massage. That doesn't sound like a, I just want a good old homie massage. Let me see. Massage therapy. Massage place. I wish I had just like Kiko's massage. That's what I'm kind of looking for. I don't want to call spas. Spas are... Okay. Let's try this. It's not what I want, but it's called Element Massage.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To
what
replay your message,
we've
press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
What the hell? I thought we canceled that thing.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4.
Are you hearing,
to send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up.
I'm trying to get my... Oh, here we go. Pass.
To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, press pound or hang up. Your message has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
You sent it?
She got a great...
Oh, yeah.
Man, we're having technical difficulties. Can you hear me, King? Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Latia. All right, good. All right, now we got it together. I am calling Elements Massages, and I'm going to ask them for my money back because they touched my penis. Let's see if it works. And then we're going to try King's call one more time before I leave. But here we go. This is Friday.
Hey.
We do phony phone calls. Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say if that next phone call don't work, we can call this this Arizona Crappy Care and tell them, tell them that they. Like y'all clean my carpet and I don't know, something, you know what I mean? But I like that.
Yeah, I do. I like that. If you could send me the number in my Facebook.
Yeah.
I like that. I can mess with the carpet people. I got a lot of stuff for them. Like my kids wiping his ass on the carpet and you guys didn't clean it out. I can do a lot of things with that. All right. Here's the massage parlor. Here we go.
Thank you for calling Elements Massage, where your utopia awaits. This call may be recorded for quality assurance and training.
Elements Massage in South Lake, this is Madeline.
Hi, Madeline. Madeline, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, Madeline. Madeline, my name is Fred Tortle. And I went and I visit your place and I had a good experience, but it was last week I came in. And after having my massage, I felt a little weird and I wanted to know if I can get my refund.
So can you spell your last name for me, first of all?
Yeah, Torto. T-A-R-I-T. T-O. Torto.
And do you remember who your appointment was with?
I don't remember who it was. I think it was an Asian woman, Asian lady.
And you're sure this is at the South Lake location?
Yes, it is, but I just want to talk to you something personal. I'm a married man. I'm a very religious man. I went in to get a therapeutic massage, and the massage was good, but she touched my penis.
I am so sorry.
I'm trying to keep myself together. You know, I'm a very religious man, and I was just laying on the table, and next thing you know, I felt her hand getting close to my testicles, and I didn't want to say anything. Next thing I know, she touched my penis. I mean,
I'm so sorry. And this is at Elements Massage, our location?
Yeah. Yes, I went to my therapist right after it happened to talk it out. And I didn't really expect anybody to, you know, move my penis. My penis did move, And I didn't expect that. She had the towel over me, and I thought everything was cool. The next thing you know, I felt fingers wrapped around my winky.
Okay, so do you mind if I take your name and number and pass it on to my manager?
Well, I understand. I don't want to cause any trouble. I mean, I'm a grown man, and you know, it's my special thing. You sound really sincere, and thank you. And I cannot talk to my men friends about it because they laugh at me. But I was just laying there enjoying a great massage, and next thing you know,
okay. And I'm so sorry. Can I get the spelling of your name one more time and your phone number?
Well, now I'm almost ashamed. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want her to get in trouble. I don't want anything at all. I just was hoping that I can talk to somebody, and I would like to go back again, but I don't want to go back again if they're going to, you know, Yankee, you know. I just want a nice. But is that the norm? Okay, because usually I have the towel over me, and she was under there for a while, you know. It was just, I was horrified. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I just stood there, and all I could do was get an erection and moan. I mean, I felt so bad.
Understood.
Could I get a refund? I mean, I'm traumatized. Maybe I'll pay for my therapy.
Let me get the spelling of your name one more time, please.
Tortorto. Just how it sounds. Just how it sounds. Tortorto.
T-O.
Yes. Tortorto. But all I want is maybe an apology. Can you apologize to my penis? Because I'm really upset. Can you? That's all I want.
I'm sorry, sir.
He forgives you. But thank you for listening. And thank you for listening.
Of course.
Okay, I mean, you don't sound like a lady that would touch a man's penis without permission. I mean, you seem like a nice person.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's some weed whackers out there, and they just want to just dig in there. I mean, it was just embarrassing, and thank you so much. And I don't even touch my penis, you know, just for personal use. Thank you for being so kind. And I can send you a picture of it so you can see the actual thing.
No.
Oh, okay. I understand. I understand. But thank you very much, and you have a great day. Thank you.
Of course. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. There you go. That's your phone call.
Good. She sounded like she was so scared. Girl, you said, do you want me to see
your wing out there?
She was like, no. Like, are you just going to send me a picture?
Yeah. Well, that's the phony phone call.
Oh,
I think it
man,
went...
that was hilarious. Man. You made me... Made me chuck on my costume and all.
Oh, that poor lady. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, man. I think I deserve a Pee Wee Herman laugh on that one. I think I did good on that one. All right. Once I make my phony phone call, we have to rate me. From 1 to 5, 5 being a good call. King, what do you think?
Oh, man, it was too damn good, man. Oh, man.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Latia, what do you think of the call? You have to rate me.
It was good.
Oh,
I give you a 5.
Yeah.
So she sounded so scared because you were like, do you want a picture of it so you can see? She's like, mm-hmm. That was so funny. then she was trying to spell the name. You was like, she was like, T-O. And when she said that, she wanted you to get her the other letter.
Yeah, because I forgot how to spell it. So I said, you know, I'm not even going to try it until you can catch me in that. I said, you know how to spell it. Just how it sounds. Oh, thank you, Pee-wee. Thank you, Pee-wee. Yeah, thank you, Pee-wee. Cole, you have to rate me.
That's a funny laugh.
And Cole, you have to rate me. Cole's not here. He's here, but he's not here. Well, that's our phony. Every Friday we'll try to do a phony phone call, and we're going to try to do the carpet thing. Let me see if King got the – let me see. Oh, here it is. Oh, okay. Arizona Carpet Care. Okay. All right. We're going to do that, too. This is Friday, everybody. We have a little fun. It's Memorial Day coming up. I won't be on the air until maybe Tuesday, I guess 4 days from now. We have a little fun on Friday. Yeah. If you want to come in and any subjects that you want to talk about before we go off the air, you know the number, which is 319-527-6099. The number is 319-527-6099. You get to talk to Brian Hammer Jackson. You get to talk to Latia. And you get to talk to the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb, and also Cole. We're in the studio today. If there's anything you want to talk about, come on in. We're going to make another call. We're calling Arizona Carpet Care. Let me get into my head what I'm going to call. I don't think about it too much because when I think about it too much, it doesn't go well. I just go to the top of my head. So here we go. I'm not going to take a break. We're going to get right into it. We are now calling Arizona Carpet Care. This is from our friend King. And they'll probably pick up the phone. And these are the people who come to your house with the carpet cleaning, King? Is that who they are?
Yeah, I used them before, you know. But now it's time for pay because they did a shitty job. And so now we need to come to them. And we need to find out how come these cum stains ain't come out the carpet.
Now, the problem that I'm going to have is that they would have the customer, like the same thing that she tried to do. If they come to me and say, well, sir, what's your name so we can look at when we service and everything. So I have to get by that. So I'm going to say a friend of mine. A friend of mine recommended, but he did have some experience, but I just want to go with you. So I'll go that route. Because I can't say I used them because they can look me up. Okay, let's see what we can do. Here we go. Arizona Carpet Care.
Arizona Carpet Care. This is Brianna.
Hi, Brianna. Hi. Brianna, my name is Fred Torto. And Brianna, the reason I'm calling you is a friend of mine referred you guys to me because I have some carpet that needs to be cleaned.
Okay. Are you in a house or an apartment?
I'm in a house.
In a house?
4 bedrooms.
Okay. So I can't give you a quote over the phone of how much it would be. They would have to actually go out there and look at it.
Right. Right.
Go ahead.
Do you have a general price? Like, you know, just to come out is usually a standard price, like $49.95. And then if you have any other spots or something that needs special care, is that where you negotiate the price or it could be more?
So it's 25 cents a square foot.
Uh-huh.
And are there any stairs in your house?
Yes. I do have 2 bedrooms upstairs. And I do, my carpeting is on the stairs.
Okay, it is $2 a flight of a step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I can schedule for them to go out there and give you a quote on it.
I do want it, and I needed your help a little bit because a friend, again, referred me to you, but he had a bad situation. He said I had a bad situation because I used them a couple of times, but they do good work, and I do have some kind of concern that when they went to his house, they did a good job, but when they left, there was a couple of spots that they missed, and that was a primary reason he asked him to come clean the carpet, but the spots was not touched. And that's my only concern.
About spots?
Yeah. He had, well, one, he had, he's a breeder, and his wife, what his wife does is that she works at the racetrack. And I'm going to tell you what she did. Her job is to jack off the horses and keep the sperm so they can sell the sperm, the thoroughbred sperm. And so she had some sperm on the carpet and everything. It was a horse cum. And they didn't clean it. It just sat there. And people come in my house and they're stepping around it because nobody wants to step in horse cum. So do you have any specialized carpet thing to clean horse cum?
I have no idea. They have spot treatment stuff.
Right.
They can try and get it out.
Exactly, because, I mean, mind you, she is thoroughbred. I mean, these are very expensive horses that they breed. And it's on the carpet. It's in the living room. When people come in there, they think me and the wife got busy. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm built like a horse, but let's not talk about that. But I'm having problems with people coming in, and it's a big white spot. I mean, it's a huge spot. And I thought that they can do it. I talked to the my friend said that he talked to the carpet cleaner and said that this is a spot I need gone. I know that you do spots with grease and juice, but do you have cum spots? You know, because can you get rid of cum spots?
I have no idea. Give me 1 second. Hold on.
Okay. I'll hold. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Unless it's Mr. Ed. Now, I'm going to give this person, hello? Hello? I'm going to give this person about 2 minutes, because sometimes they'll put us on hold just to see if we hang up. So we'll give it 2 minutes. Hello? Hello. I mean, it's a big problem, horse cum. Yeah. Very thick.
Thank you for holding. Someone will be right with you.
Really?
Okay. I bet she's trying to understand, well, why is it in your house?
I know. And she's and can you imagine her asking somebody, do we have anything to...
She's trying not to laugh, too.
We appreciate your patience. Thank you for waiting.
That's so funny. I
don't
remember what you said.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, might as well hang that up.
Yeah, I'm going to hang this up. let me see. I got to find her number, though. Which one?
We'll be with you shortly.
King, your number starts with 604, right? Because there's two 603s.
No.
Okay, you're 526? Okay, I'm thinking this is her.
Yeah, okay. The 604.
Okay. We hung her up. She's gone. Can you imagine her going to the two people and asking, do they have any cleanser to do that, the cleaner to do that? And they're going to look at her like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'll probably laugh at her face.
Well, hold on. Let me talk to my manager. Well, there you go. Some of them work good. Some of them, if I could keep them. If they leave the phone, I kind of lost them. But if I could keep them on the phone, we usually do it. But
okay.
If she left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we used to call my auntie, and we was like, well, we'll act like she ordered some food. And then she was like, I ain't order that. And we was like, yes, you did. So it was so funny.
Yeah. When you started mentioning it, she kind of laughed a little bit, and that's when I was like, oh yeah, this shit is hilarious. she was like, what?
She did kind of laugh a little bit. Well, I don't know. Wow.
Yep.
That's what we do on the weekends. That was good. Thank you. Thank you, King. And that was brought to you by King and Latia. That's our phony phone calls for Friday. The Japanese thing worked. That's right, Pee Wee. Okay. Pee Wee. Wow. We used to do those a lot. Next. Yeah.
Man.
We'll do another one next Friday. We'll do these every Friday just to have fun. It's 6 minutes. I usually will go a little further. Is 6 minutes to the 3 hours? Or is it? Yeah. Won't you have 6 minutes left out of 3 hours? Man, it goes by fast.
I'm getting ready to start prank calling some family members. And I'm serious. Like, I got an auntie, and she does that home health care shit, and she
right.
You know, she has to drive around and check on these different patients, you know what I mean? And so I'm thinking about prank calling her, and then before she hang up, I just be like, yo, ain't this me your nephew? And then she... Yeah.
I have 5 minutes. I don't know if I could do that in 5 minutes. I would like to hear that. I would like to. Do you have her number?
Yeah, but we could do it next week. So
okay, we'll do it next week. I like to do that. Well, we have 5 minutes. I want to just say thank you. 111, you came in. 111, you're live on the air. Before we leave, we have 5 minutes. Well, we had. Okay.
Hello.
Well,
Brian.
We had it. Hello, Mr. Solution. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Mr. Solution, what do you think about the pandemic thing, about Biden and administration trying to get people? Did you know in California, where I am, they are now putting people in a lottery? They're saying that if you've been vaccinated or if you get vaccinated by June 17th, you could win $50 million or you could win $25 million. So, Mr. Solution, how do you feel about the government trying to pressure people and offer them incentives and getting the shot?
I don't know, Brian. I don't get it. I was on the FDA website, and it hasn't been – the applicable words are officially approved – and emergency authorization. So it has the latter, an emergency authorization. It's not been officially approved yet.
Exactly.
So that means that all the people that are getting the shot are, in fact, the test subjects.
Right.
And they usually, a couple of other points, they say out of 5,000. In other words, the FDA only approves 1 in 5,000 products such as this, like vaccines, 1 in 5,000. And it takes roughly 12 years. It can take more, but right around the range was between 10 and 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to have been developed in – now, they say there's background. In other words, there are other what you call cognate diseases, okay, that are similar to this. And I think – I forget the one. You probably know the ones that are similar. But the point is – this is new territory. So to answer your question, I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know what the push is.
Right.
My position is everybody doesn't need the shot. I was listening to a doctor the other day. Only the sick people, the people with what they call morbidity, comorbidity, needs it. Everybody doesn't need it. And what about the people who have natural antibodies to it?
Sure.
And then you give them a shot? What the hell will that do? You follow me?
Yeah, I follow you. But you know what gets me worried, though, that doesn't seem right? And I'm saying it fast because I'm looking at the time and I want to get your opinion while we're still live. What worries me about this, when I say something's wrong, if you're telling me that I got a shot and the shot is going to protect me, meaning, even if I get COVID, it won't be as drastic as somebody else gets it. Or then you're telling me I got the shot that for me to transmit this to somebody else is very slim. Okay, cool. So I got the shot. Why are you worried about everybody else around me getting the shot? Why are you so worried about everybody must get this shot? Well, you're telling me the perks is I'm protected. So what? What the fuck? Why do I care if somebody next door to me get it or not? I'm protected. It just doesn't – it seems weird to me that you're forcing people, not only forcing people, that you're giving them incentive to get the shot. Something doesn't sound right to me. What's your comment on that?
What people need to do is go ahead and push back. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't pass the smell test.
Right.
You know, I had a doctor. I went to see a doctor, and he said to me – he was, encouraging me to get the shot. I didn't get the shot. What I did was I was tested, which I didn't have it. And so I mentioned to him just what I'm mentioning to you about. It hasn't been FDA approved. And he backed off immediately because he wasn't aware that that was indeed the case. So I think what we have is a lot of hysteria. We have a lot of control, people wanting to be in control. See, this is the most power the government has ever had over the people, and I'm saying in a particular way. This is the most, and I believe a lot of people are just drunk on that power. And
I agree.
First of all, the disease isn't that bad. COVID isn't as bad as the flu. More people die of the flu. And so it's just, I think it's politically expedient just to force the people into a certain, you know, methodology or way of living. Now, that shot may have severe consequences. In fact, this doctor I was listening to talked about all the deaths and other side effects that haven't been broadcast. There have been and there are serious side effects. My position is zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, I think vitamin E, copper, and things to boost and exercise also. Things to boost the person's immune system, I think, are a lot better than these newfangled new age shots.
Well, I tend to agree with you because I got my second dose, and I don't know, and I'm usually, I work, I'm a workaholic.
You're a dead man, Brian.
Could be, but we all have to go sometime. We all have to go.
Yeah, but you're going to go a lot sooner than you. Hey, those cigarettes are not going to get you. That COVID shot is.
Why are you so happy knowing that I'm going to go? I'm just so happy.
Look, it's almost like a roach once you sprayed it with Raid. It moves a little bit, but it's doomed.
See, you know,
I'm teasing, Brian.
I know you are. But I'll be honest with you because a lot of people want to know the truth. The truth of it is since I got the shot, I haven't been right since I got the shot.
Well, that's an understatement. Wait a minute. That's an understatement.
Okay, more right. I mean, I don't know if
that. What's wrong with you? What have you noticed?
Well, I did notice that I'm getting tired a lot faster. I mean, I got the shot, my second dose, maybe 2 weeks ago. I noticed that my brain's been in a fog. These are symptoms that I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I've heard of those symptoms. Go on.
Yeah, my short-term memory is really drifting. It's like in and out, in and out. I'm not as quick as I used
to be.
What's
your name?
Mr. Solution, that's my name. Say my name, bitch. I put respect on it. Put some respect on with the hammer. But I noticed that, no, my short-term memory has really took a hit. But the brain fog is the one that's really getting me that I'm more concerned about. And I don't know how to describe the brain fog. The brain fog is like a more of a methodical kind of person. I can think what I'm doing ahead of time, and I can go to a lot of scenarios of the possibilities if I make this decision. I can't do that anymore. I feel like I'm just walking around in a fog. I really do. And shortness of breath. I don't like it. I'm hoping that it passes. And, again, I don't know if it's sort of the shot or maybe I'm exhausted, but I'm usually quick. I'm usually really fast, really quick, and I feel like I'm a lot slower. These are the symptoms that I'm experiencing. Oh, and another thing, your sexual drive. My sexual drive is basically gone. And when
I thought it left and came back.
It came back 1 minute, and the next thing you know, it took off on vacation. Maybe forgot something and packed some bags and left. I don't know. But the drive.
Oh, another thing that you may think of, they are immune to liability.
Well, of course, because it's still emergency. As long as it's still an emergency thing, they are immune to liability because nobody, it hasn't been approved yet. So you don't have a major big pharma producing this and taking it to the doctor and distribute it. Therefore, there's nobody you can sue. As long as
but
you feel
a credit
emergency,
to them, they are seeking FDA approval. In the process of seeking FDA approval for, what is it, three or four How many different drugs are there?
Right now, I know there's Pfizer, there's Moderna, AstraZeneca. Johnson and Johnson.
Four are seeking FDA approval.
Sure. More money.
Well,
but
all
again,
I can say, Brian, is you're pretty much on your own. Why don't you research? You know, there are things, maybe natural remedies,
right,
that can reverse some of those symptoms that you have. And you may get more symptoms down the road.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, again, these may be temporary symptoms. There may be this. I might just be overworked. It could be a lot of things. Well, one thing I do believe in, you know, I believe in something. It's called the will. People have this will to live. You know, when they're not supposed to be alive, they can will themselves to health. They can will themselves to live. I have learned to say, okay, and you are right. I've been eating right. I've been exercising more. I've been doing the things that I should be doing. I'm trying to stop smoking. I got my things. I want to fuck again. I miss fucking.
Oh, wait a minute.
You're
still
so
smoking?
I'm still smoking, yeah.
Oh, man.
And,
you're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I live on the edge, dude. I live on the edge.
You do. You certainly
That's
do.
That's right. Go
but,
big or go home.
Brian, go on, since you're interested, go on the one of these websites and find some more symptoms, and maybe you can talk about those. Have most of the people that you know been vaccinated?
Yeah.
Well, see, one of the reasons I understand that this is a unique situation. So I'm watching you guys. I may get the shot, but I want to see what happens. I want to give it about a year or so, and see what happens to you people.
Well, here's the thing. This is not going away. And I know a lot of people talk about, well, I don't know what's going to happen, and it could cause this, it could cause that. Here's the truth. Smoking can cause lung cancer, and it's proven to do it. It's proven. If you smoke, you can develop. Chances are you will. It's proven.
And not
but
just
yet,
lung
a lot of,
cancer. There's another big one, too, that, and I was just checking this out, 75% of smokers, I told you about the AAA, abdominal aortic aneurysm, and that will kill a person. I mean, boom, you're talking, you bleed out is what happens. Your major blood supply erupts, and it's like a catastrophic failure, and you die in under 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But see, what I'm trying to say is our behavior and what we're doing, some people, if they realize what's actually in your drinking water, I mean, for Kansas, I mean, I don't know, King's here, and then Latina, is she from Kansas? I don't know. She's from Kansas and Wichita. But you know, people are drinking a lot of water that are not healthy with them, with the materials and the minerals in the water, and people switch to bottled water, but they don't know that bottled water is just as bad because it doesn't have is it the chlorine that we need to strengthen our teeth, and bottled water do not have the chlorine? Is that
No, fluoride.
I wish – is it? I'm sorry, the chloride, yeah. That bottled water does –
okay. Remember
wait
the chemistry
minute,
because
bottled
if you get
bottled water
wrong, –
no, okay, hold
on. It's fluoride. But look here, what people can do is go to, like, a Home Depot and install a solid block carbon filter. Not granular carbon. Solid block carbon filter. And,
nobody's
like, one teaspoon of activated charcoal has the filtering capacity of, like, 100 yards.
Nobody's
going to
do that.
Just say a football field.
Nobody's going to do it.
What?
Nobody's going to do it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go to the bottled water. And I suggest anybody, I really believe it's unhealthy. You should really, whatever bottled water that you're drinking from, and you know it's going to be from Pepsi, Coca-Cola, whatever. It's bottled. And I think it's silly. I see people, I know somebody who's drinking nothing but bottled water, but as soon as we go out, they'll drink out of a public drinking fountain. Oh, back in the day they did, without the pandemic.
Yeah, and like we say, most of that is just municipal water.
That's all it is.
They may put some minerals in it. And that makes it a little bit safer. But most municipal water, most, is okay. It's safe for consumption. It's not good because what's the chlorine?
Right.
Sterilizes the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So one can have a lot of abdominal problems because your gut flora is eliminated.
Well, I guess my point is in everyday life what we consume can hurt you, can harm you, from water,
yeah.
from drinking water to the corn that the farmers, how they put in the soil to even meat and what they feed the cows. It can harm you. Our immune system
GMOs.
Will kick in. Of course. And anything could be manipulated. And if you, and let's not even say if you're on some kind of prescription, drugs, and it could be little thing like keeping your blood pressure low to, you know, a stent in your heart. We live in this kind of area, and you're going to catch COVID. I'm telling you right now, this is not going to go away. This is going to be here. It will be here. And maybe you're not going
to
catch it this year.
Herd immunity. I think we're pretty much there. I think we're there, herd immunity. And, I mean, look, the only reason, you remember the two reasons that COVID was considered so devastating. It was new, and we had nothing. We had no type of defense, no vaccine. Now, they say the flu vaccine is only about between 5 and 10% effective.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it's something. And then there's the placebo, possibly. But, you know, with this one, there was nothing. So that's the reason there was such a panic. And I don't know. I hope we come back to full strength, but some people doubt it.
Well, we have to. I mean, my take on this is all of it is bullshit. See, what happened with my take on this is you're right. We didn't have anything to protect us with. And then we started seeing things on TV, 25 people died, 100 people died, 3,000 people died. The hospitals are overrun. People are, and there was no protection. So the government had to give us something. See, human beings need to have something to do. Human beings need to have some kind of control. And so they invented the mask. Wear the mask because that's giving them something to do. To protect themselves
right.
from a hidden enemy, and the mask wasn't good enough. Okay, well then we'll tell you a particular mask, N9. Okay, N9 masks are gone. Just where we quit saying mask, and now we started saying face covering, which we knew that the mask did not protect us from this because you had your frontliners or the front. What do you call them? Help me out. See my short-term memory. You had these nurses and everything catching it.
Well,
so,
okay. See, that's a different case. When you talk about people who are constantly exposed, because
okay.
the thing was, you have to, one has to be in the presence of a person that has it for 15 minutes. And see, that exempts most people right there. But if you look at Texas, now remember, I think Texas was called a Neanderthal or the governor and the people for getting rid of the COVID requirements.
Right.
But
right.
we haven't seen a spike in anything, deaths
because
or even cases.
It's bullshit. Well,
and
it's bullshit.
I think Florida also. Yeah, I think this pushing of taking the drug is something other than the well-being
I
of
agree
the people
with
who
you.
Take it.
I agree 100% with you. When they created this drug, this so-called drug, this vaccine, it's because people were panicking. People were running to the stores. They're running amok. They're taking toilet paper. They're acting like animals. We needed, something needed to be done for them to believe in. So we came up with
now,
this
emergency.
Now, let
me tell you this, Brian. I asked my doctor, which is a really smart guy. He's sharp.
Right, right.
I asked him, I said, well, how long does this vaccine last?
Right.
And
they don't know.
That caught him off guard. He wasn't sure. And I understand there is no assurance. Now,
right.
they say we may need a booster in 8 months. I've heard 8 months. Now, are you going to get the booster? You'll need one.
No, not going to. Again, I was in a situation.
You should probably get the booster, Brian.
No, I'm not getting the booster. I'm not getting the booster. I hope my immune system adapts to what's already in my body. I'm a realist. The reason I did it is because my girlfriend was so adamant about, and she bought into the hysteria and she bought into the propaganda that if we don't get it, we're going to die. But that's not only the only reason. She also had a son who actually caught COVID, and she saw what happened to him, and he's a young man.
What did happen?
Well, he caught the COVID. This is not the vaccine, the COVID itself. It basically basically almost put him on a ventilator. He couldn't breathe.
Did he have any existing health problems?
He might have been overweight. I mean, we can, which America, most of America is. I don't think he had anything really drastic that could affect his immune system.
Okay, how much overweight would you say he was?
I would say about 30 pounds. But if I don't believe that was a factor. I just don't believe that was a factor. But it really took him, man. I mean, strong guy. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk.
How old was he? Is he?
He's 32.
Hey, that's unique then. That's relatively unique. And you would say he's how tall and weighs how much, roughly?
Yeah, he's about 6'2", and he's a little bit overweight. I would say maybe 320.
Wait a minute, he weighs 320 at 6'2"?
I would say that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that certainly puts him in the category. Because that's what one would call morbidly obese.
No, you can say
obese.
It's obesity. You can say that. We should not be ashamed to say the word. It's obese.
Yeah, right. Well, being morbidly obese does put one in the category.
Right. But, see, I'm considered obese.
They're in danger.
I'm 6'2". I'm 6'2". I'm 245. I'm 245. But if you saw me, it's not fat. You'll say that's a big dude. It's not. You would not see me going, that's an obese guy. You know, some people cannot carry 245 at 6'2". I mean, it just goes to their gut. You know, it goes everywhere else. And I'm not,
right.
I mean, the weight is its weight. You know, I don't care how you carry it, you're still fat. You know what I mean? My body hides it more.
Well, you should start reducing, Brian, because.
Oh, I am. I am.
That puts you in the danger zone for sure, sure.
Okay.
Get on the salad. Salad and vegetables, water.
I've been doing
working
it.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to go work out myself. Well, look here. Nice chat with you. I hope you turn out well. And you're the king of the, what do you call it? The
prank
callers?
Oh, I don't know if I'm the king. I try. Well, thank you.
The horse. I said Brian is literally beside himself. I was waiting on hold there. So there's nothing else like you, Brian. I can say that with a feel of satisfaction.
Is that a compliment or is that a disgust?
It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay, how
all
was
right,
the call?
Well, look, you have a
how,
great
wait,
weekend.
Before
Talk
you go,
to you later.
Before you
Bye-bye.
Go, you got to rate me. How was the call? Was the call good? Ah, you son of a bitch. You're going to leave that way. You son of a bitch. All right, everybody. I want to thank the King of Kings. Thank you so much. King Webb, everybody. Get the single. Don't get caught in my web, and I don't give a damn. Thank you, King.
Welcome.
Latia, thank you for coming in. I even though I see your phone number, I can see your smiling face, and I want to thank you for supporting the show all week. You've been a pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Probably staying home.
You know, that's the best thing. It's the Memorial Day weekend. You got nothing but people out there being crazy. We had a guy on the freeway shooting BB guns at cars and killing people, and they just caught him, and he's been doing this for about a month. There's some crazy folks out there, Latia.
Oh, he needs to get beat up.
Oh, yeah, he does. He needs a good ass whooping. They'll take care of him in jail. They'll take care of him.
Yep, he's going to be somebody to care for him.
You talking about the guy that was out there shooting in San Jose?
Well, not him. There's another guy. Yeah, that happened 2 days ago, that motherfucker. Can you imagine that dude? Man. I know. Eight people, and shot himself, too. Damn. I was going to do a show about that. You know, then you got your left people. Hey, take their guns away. Shut up.
I ain't bold to shoot myself.
Right. See, now, I would a fine girl like you, Latia, I would take you to the gun range, get your own gun so you protect yourself from some of these assholes that you want to date.
That's what I need. I need me a gun.
Yeah. Well, you need... I don't know. You just scared the hell out of me. All right. Well, if you do get one, go to the range, learn how to shoot it, and if you need a gun, you better get one, because it sounds like you got some people who are stalking you. You got people stalking you, Latia? Following you around, calling you up?
I probably do. I don't know. But, shoot, they better leave me alone. Look, I'll grab a knife from the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm glad to hear a sister protects herself. I can see it now.
All I got to do is throw one of my babies. I throw my oldest. I throw him because, you know, he got long legs. So all I got to do is slap him with his leg.
See, I don't have to worry about you, do I? I don't have to worry about you at all. All right, guys. Be safe over the weekend. Be safe. I would miss you guys. That's right. I would miss you guys if you guys weren't out around next week. So take care of yourself, all right?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. It's Brian Hammer Jackson. I'm out. See you guys Tuesday. Be safe this weekend. Bye, y'all.